540. Our show is called, appropriately enough, A Different Perspective. I'm Jack Quirk, and I'm your host. I have guests with a unique angle on current issues. I'm often joined by Phil Rapp and other guest co-hosts who bring their own expertise to our discussions. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for A Different Perspective here on KRXA 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Lou Milietto. Turning back the hands of time. Leading Democrats on Capitol Hill already wrestling with presidential candidates apologizing for giving President Bush Iraq war policies or powers, now propose to take those powers away.
I'm Mark Knoller at the White House, where a spokesman offers no expressions of concern that Congress might try to revoke the authorization it gave President Bush to use military force. In the White House view, talk of revocation is hypothetical. A spokesman says the authorization remains in effect and the U.S. remains in Iraq at the invitation of the Iraqi government.
The White House is warning of consequences if Senate Democrats revoke the resolution authorizing the Iraq war. Administration spokesman says there would be chaos if troops leave Baghdad. In Iraq, CBS News correspondent Kevin McCormick says the son of a top Iraqi Shiite politician was detained, and now U.S. officials are apologizing.
He was returning from Iran when he was detained at the Zerbachia border crossing, where U.S. troops have been working with the Iraqis to step up security. Amar al-Hakim was taken into custody and freed several hours later. The U.S. ambassador here says the incident is being investigated and apologized for the arrest. Hakim's father is one of the country's most powerful Shiite leaders.
He says he wasn't even in on the talk. He is the army soldier accused of rape and murder of a 14-year-old Iraqi girl. CBS News correspondent Jim Crisula.
Lawyers for Army PFC Jesse Spielman have told a judge at Fort Campbell, Kentucky, the 22-year-old soldier was not in on the planning of one of the worst alleged atrocities by U.S. military personnel in Iraq. Five current and former 101st Airborne soldiers, including Spielman, were charged with raping and murdering a 14-year-old Iraqi girl before killing her parents and younger sister. Two of the soldiers have pleaded guilty.
Those two soldiers who have pleaded guilty include a sergeant who was sentenced to 100 years in prison. That's a wrap for the day, not the trial. CBS News correspondent Peter Mayer has been following the deliberations in federal court on the case against Scooter Libby, former aide to the vice president accused of lying to investigators trying to get to the bottom of who outed CIA operative Valerie Plame Wilson.
After nearly 20 hours of deliberations, there is still no verdict. The jury must decide whether former top administration official Louis Scooter Libby intentionally lied to FBI agents or simply had a bad memory. The jurors are considering a complicated web of witnesses and evidence. The case is an intriguing Washington mix that stemmed from the outing of CIA worker Valerie Plame Wilson, whose husband, Joseph Wilson, accused the administration of manipulating intelligence to make the case for war against Iraq. Peter Mayer, CBS News, U.S. District Court, Washington.
An astronaut who suffers a breakdown on Earth is one thing, but what about out in space? Turns out NASA has a policy. They start with duct taping the astronaut's hands together. This is CBS News.
The following is an OnStar conversation.
OnStar Center, this is Sandy. How can I help you?
Can you check a service engine light?
Well, of course, I can take care of that for you.
OnStar can run a diagnostic check of your vehicle's key systems while you're driving.
When was the last time you put fuel in the Montana?
The day before yesterday.
What I'm showing is an emission system malfunction. What it means is that your fuel cap's not on tight enough.
Oh, well, wonderful.
Only GM offers so many vehicles with the peace of mind of OnStar.
All you're going to need to do is take it off and put it back on, and then the light will go off. That's all that's wrong.
Thank you. I'll do it right now.
Can I assist with anything else?
No, nope, that's fine.
Do remember that we're here to help you 24 hours a day. Thank you for using OnStar.
The first year of OnStar service is included on new OnStar-equipped GM vehicles and covers unlimited use of all safety and security services. To experience OnStar, press your blue button or visit OnStar.com. OnStar by GM.
Rats gone wild in a KFC Taco Bell in New York's Greenwich Village. WCBS reporter Peter Haskell says video of the rodents is now on news broadcast across the country, not to mention the internet around the world.
There were more than a dozen rats inside the restaurant. They stood on their hind legs, pressed their noses against the window, and all but waved to the people outside. Shelly Vincent used to eat here.
I'm disgusted. That's just crazy that they would have that many rats. How could they not know?
Carol Ferraccio is a city health inspector.
Based on the inspection today, due to the insanitary conditions, this restaurant has been closed.
This KFC Taco Bell was cited for rodents during its last four inspections, but it was never closed. Peter Haskell, CBS News, New York.
After four closings with record highs, the market today finished up the day posting its third consecutive decline. The Dow lost 38.5. I'm Lou Maligano, CBS News.
So you're a consultant?
Yes, sir.
What's with the wall of sticky notes?
It's my small business accounting system. Unpaid invoices go on the purple ones.
And the green?
New customers.
So unpaid bills are the yellow ones.
How'd you know?
I took a shot. You know, there's an easier way to manage your business.
Yeah?
Yeah, QuickBooks. You can be up and running in under 15 minutes with just a few clicks. QuickBooks software lets you write checks, send invoices, see who's paid and who hasn't.
I'll switch. So, need a couple hundred sticky notes?
I'm going to pass on that. QuickBooks. Better, faster, simpler. Get it at Office Max, Best Buy, or Amazon.com.
Okay, 17-inch aluminum wheels. All-new Chrysler Sebring Touring, standard. Toyota Camry LE, not available. Honda Accord LX, not available. Yes, essential stain-resistant fabric. Sebring, standard. Other guys, not available. There's got to be something, huh? Steering wheel, Sebring, standard. Toyota and Honda, standard.
The all-new Chrysler Sebring, completely redesigned inside and out with many exclusive features. As described, $21,110. MSRP excludes tax.
Collins. Welcome to a Friday edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm your humble host, Peter B., live from San Francisco. This program is unscripted, unrehearsed, and we have a general idea of where we're going over the next 3 hours. In our first hour, Ken Silverstein, Harper's Magazine's Washington editor, takes us on a tour of Islamic democracies. Won't take long. We're also going to talk to him about other issues, including his webpage called The Washington Babylon. I'm not sure if it's a blog or not. We'll get his definition a little bit later. Next hour, Professor Bo Grosskopf from the University of California, Chico, is going to join us. He's the author of the book Strategic Terror. And we're going to talk with him about the plans to carpet bomb Iran. They're just plans so far, but remember Bush said about Iraq, I have no war plans on my desk. They're in that file cabinet behind me under Laura's picture. Also on today's program, Michael McPherson, Executive Director of Veterans for Peace. They have been conducting sit-ins in congressional and Senate offices. And we'll get the lowdown on that coming up. And in our 5 o'clock hour on the West Coast, 6 o'clock Phoenix time, Brad Friedman, as usual, from bradblog.com. And as we discussed last week, he still has some problems with Rush Holt's bill to fix the electronic voting machine problems. And groups like Common Cause and Move On and People for the American Way have come out in favor, saying it's not perfect, but they think it's the best we can get under the circumstances. Brad, who helped shape the Holt bill, disagrees. And so we're going to have a lively conversation. I wouldn't call it a debate, but an honest exchange of views between Brad and Susanna Goodman of Common Cause, which is one of the organizations that has embraced the Holt bill. We'll also get an update on Florida 13, the place where 18,000 votes were lost in Sarasota. And we have even have a new ditty to play for you that sets that situation to music. That's all ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're invited to call in at any moment, toll free, 888-5-PETER-B. That number again is 888-573-8372. You can also email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com. Before we get the show started, a personal note, if you'll indulge me. Listeners in Phoenix and also staff members at the radio station alerted me to some changes there. And today I spoke with Anita Dry, who's the new CEO of Nova M Radio. They operate KPHX in Phoenix. And she informed me that Dr. Mike Newcomb has left Nova M over the last few days. As many of you know, Mike was the host of the morning show and the driving force who brought Progressive Talk back to Phoenix last year. Anita Drobny also informed me that they're planning to move the Peter B. Collins Show to 10 p.m. in order to make way for a local show in this time slot. While our Phoenix listeners could still hear the show, you wouldn't be able to call in, and the station's low power at night would further limit your access to this program. She said the change might happen in March or early April. And I made it clear that such a move would be a major disappointment to me and to the many listeners and callers who've become loyal to the show. Anita Drobny said the new plans respond to the wishes of listeners and advertisers who she's talked to. And she told me that if listeners tell her that they want to keep Peter B. live in the afternoon, that she will listen. Quote, "I should only hope that will happen," she said. And I actually wrote that down. So, my friends in Phoenix, the future of the Peter B. Collins Show is up to you. I feel a pretty powerful connection to you folks, even to Steve the Republican who likes to tweak me. With your support and activism, we may be able to turn this decision around. Now, to start, I ask you to email the station and send a copy of it to me. The station contact is Billy Foster, and he's got one L in his name. He said he had brothers who beat the L out of him. bfoster@aaphx.com. That's bfoster@aaphx.com. Now, I'm not going to tell you what to say, and you may say, hey, get rid of Peter B. That is your right. But I'm hopeful that you'll offer words of support. And be sure to copy me, peter@peterbcollins.com, and I will make sure that your comments get to the decision makers. Again, the address at KPHX, Billy Foster. That's bfoster@aaphx.com. And I'm peter@peterbcollins.com. And we'll see what happens. And I appreciate your support. Ken Silverstein returns to our program. He used to write for the Los Angeles Times, and I think he's a much happier camper now. He is the Washington Bureau Chief for Harper's Magazine. Ken, welcome back.
Thank you.
How are you doing today?
Pretty well.
Yeah.
Coming down with a mild, what I hope is only a mild cold, so I hope my voice holds out.
Okay. If it doesn't, we'll give you a pause for a cough and a little spritz of scotch, if that's what you like to do.
Well, that may be necessary, but we'll see if we can get through.
Okay. I also want to point out that I've been checking in at your webpage on the Harper's site. Do you actually call this a blog, or is it more of a kind of a personal post?
It is not quite a blog, but I think, you know, for lack of a better term, we'll use it. I guess a traditional blog, or what people think of as a blog, they tend to post, you know, 5-10 times a day, short items, and often reporting on what other people have reported, whereas the Harper site has more than just me posting, but I tend to post 2 or 3 or 4 times a week and to do short reported pieces, so it's a little bit different than a traditional blog, but I can live with that term.
Well, apparently your cold got in the way because you didn't post today, and I was looking forward to a Washington Babylon update today.
Well, the cold is bugging me, and I'm working on a piece for the magazine, and it's been a real slow week for me, but next week I'll be up and running again.
All right, well, I want to direct people to it. You just go to harpers.org/WashingtonEditor.html, and you can also find a link to it on the homepage at harpers.org. Ken, this is a powerful piece you wrote that is published in the brand new issue of Harper's, and I'm just looking here. It's the March 2007 edition, and it's a lengthy piece that I impishly, at least an attempt at impishness, described as a tour of Islamic democracies in the Middle East, and it doesn't take long. But in fact, it's a lengthy piece that examines the various movements in these countries, and there's an immediate paradox that surfaces, which is that George W. Bush has articulated this overarching vision of democracy in the Middle East. And he argues that Iraq is kind of the incubator or the beta site for this movement or development that he sees. Yet, as you point out, there isn't much democracy in Saudi Arabia. We don't say much about that. There's almost no democracy, and there's heavy repression in Egypt, and we keep quiet about that. And we have openly interfered with the groups that won elections like Hamas in the Palestinian territories.
Yeah, I mean, the Bush administration's rhetoric on democracy just doesn't hold up. I mean, we have maintained our alliances. I mean, it was, you know, back in November of 2003, Bush gave this much praise speech where he said that we'd coddled dictatorships and repressive regimes in the Middle East for 60 years and this had to come to an end because this simply bred terrorism. The lack of democracy bred terrorism, which I think is that he's correct. But nothing's changed in the real world since then. I mean, we continue to maintain all of our old alliances. We're as close as ever with the Saudis. we have turned a blind eye to all of the democratic abuses in Egypt. And as you mentioned, when there have been this sort of democratic positive steps in terms of democracy, we haven't necessarily been sympathetic. And I know that, you know, many of your listeners will go, when I say Hamas winning the election in the Palestinian territories is a positive step, well, we may not like Hamas, we may not agree with what Hamas believes or necessarily what it does, but it's very hard to understand from the perspective of a citizen of the Middle East how the United States can be seen to support, you know, can advocate democracy, can rhetorically call for democracy, can demand that the Palestinians hold an election and support that election, and then when our guys lose, we say, too bad, we don't recognize the outcome, we cut off all aid to the new government, and that's that. So, you know, there's a huge gap between the rhetoric of support for democracy and the reality, and I don't think, that, you know, that's beyond dispute. I mean, if you just look around the Middle East since the president's speech in November 2003, it's really hard for anyone to see an area where the to see a country where the United States has solidly come down in support of democracy. We've continued to coddle the old dictatorships.
Well, and Ken, to underscore your point about Hamas, Prime Minister Abbas, the leader of Fatah, seemed to sense very early on that partly due to the corruption from the Arafat era to the present time, and somewhat due to a shift in sentiments about tactics among the Palestinians, he knew that he was going to suffer a big setback. And didn't he come to the United States and offer to delay the elections?
Yeah, and we... You know, the United States wanted the elections to take place. I don't think the State Department or the administration foresaw what was going to happen, even though it seems to have been pretty clear on the ground that there was going to be a big, big turnout for Hamas. So, yeah, I mean, we not only endorsed the elections, but when he wanted to delay them, we insisted that they go ahead as scheduled, not really anticipating the outcome. And then it was an outcome we couldn't live with. You know, the thing is that democracy is all about unknown outcomes. I mean, that's the nature of democracy. People vote, and then after the votes are counted, you know who the winner is. Well, if you can't live with unaccepted outcomes, then you really aren't supporting democracy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, again, I'm not sitting here trying to support or endorse Hamas, but it's a movement that's popularly based. They agreed to take part in a democratic election. And obviously the grievances of Palestinians against Israel and against the old Palestinian leadership led a lot of people to support Hamas. They won the election. It was widely considered the freest vote ever held in the Middle East. And we immediately cut off all aid and say we're not going to talk to the new government. It just mm-hmm. It doesn't sit well in the Middle East, and no matter what we think of Hamas, it's easy to see why.
Yeah. We're going to take a break and return with Ken Silverstein, as I mentioned, Harper's Washington editor. We're talking about the piece that's in the brand-new issue. It just arrived in my mailbox at home yesterday, and it's entitled Parties of God, the Bush Doctrine, and the Rise of Islamic Democracy. More in a moment, and Ken Silverstein will talk about some other issues as the hour continues, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli, with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Hey, good looking. What you got cooking? How's about cooking something up with me?
I'll tell you what I got cooking. Dinner's ready.
I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment, and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinner's ready?
That's right, Dinner's Ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's Ready!
One Day Income Tax Service, family owned and operated since 1944, specializes in year-round professional tax preparation. Do you want your refund quickly? Stop by One Day Income Tax Service. They offer tax preparation at reasonable rates and work to meet the needs of military families with the capacity to process all out-of-state returns. If you prefer to prepare your own return at home, they can help you expedite your refund by filing your return electronically. Let One Day Income Tax Service assist you with your return and maximize your refund. Stop by 885 Broadway Avenue in Seaside, where no appointment is necessary. Looking for quick, professional, and reasonable tax return preparation? Visit One Day Income Tax Service, 885 Broadway Avenue, Seaside, or call 394-8010. That's 831-394-8010. One Day Income Tax Service, where you walk in with a copy of your most recent tax return, personal ID, and W-2 1099 info for 2006, and you walk out with your completed tax return.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
The Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. My guest is Ken Silverstein, Washington editor for Harper's Magazine. We're talking about this fascinating article, a lengthy piece that's in the brand new Harper's March edition, called Parties of God, the Bush Doctrine, and the Rise of Islamic Democracy. Ken, I want to grab a paragraph here and ask you to amplify on it a bit. You write, "Above all, America has refused to engage with Islamic opposition movements, even those that flatly reject violence and participate in democratic politics. It's true that many Islamists long rejected the concept of elections, which the more radical of them still argue are an infringement on God's sovereignty. Others reject democracy because they believe with good reason that elections in their countries were so flagrantly rigged." Page turn. "That they offered no realistic path to change. Of course, Islamic groups that did seek to campaign in elections were frequently barred from doing so by dictatorial regimes. But since the 1990s, growing numbers of Islamists have concluded that reform from within can be achieved gradually through electoral politics. Today, there are dozens of active Islamic political parties, both Shiite and Sunni, with diverse political and ideological agendas." So, why is it that the United States offers this message of promotion of democracy in a region of the world where it's generally pretty foreign, and then we establish at the point of a gun an alleged democracy in Iraq that doesn't measure up to real democracy in so many respects, and then we wonder why people think that we're either hypocritical or just plain contradictory?
Well, the easiest example to take here would be Egypt, to try to address your question. The Muslim Brotherhood renounced violence, decades ago. They've committed no acts of violence, even though they've been the victims of extraordinary violence on the part of the Egyptian government. The government itself, basically runs... a system in which democracy is completely squelched. There's restrictions on freedom of the press, freedom of assembly. The elections they've held have been a sham. Mubarak has been in power for 25 years, and he's now trying to figure out whether he can get away with handing power over to his son. So on the one hand, you have a government that has shown itself to be completely hostile to democracy. On the other hand, you have a movement of Islamists who have renounced violence and who have played by the rules of the game, even when the rules have been pretty flagrantly rigged against them. Now, again, with the Muslim Brotherhood, there's certainly grounds for criticism, and this is not an endorsement of everything they say or do. But
and Ken, can we just have a broad stipulation here that I understand that point, and at least for my benefit, you don't have to add those caveats. I'm pretty clear that none of these groups is perfect and that they operate under very difficult conditions. At the same time, they do reflect an aspiration for citizen participation that, again, the United States turns a blind eye and a deaf ear to.
Okay, well put, and I'll stop making that caveat.
Okay.
In any case, why do we deal with the dictatorship or the authoritarian regime at best and not deal with the democratic movement? Well, because Mubarak is a close ally who works with us, pretty much does what we want, and the Muslim Brotherhood does not like the United States, or at least does not like United States foreign policy, which, across the Middle East, that's a fairly standard view. I mean, pretty much no one outside of Israel likes American foreign policy in the Middle East. So we used to talk to the Muslim Brotherhood until the late 90s. It wasn't as if U.S. diplomats and Muslim Brotherhood leaders were sitting down for tea every day, but there was communication, direct communication, and the Mubarak regime complained about it, and so we said, okay, we'll stop talking to them. So, it's basically taking a position of, what we have isn't great on the democratic front, but it's, there are SOBs, basically, and we can work with these people, and they're always going to be loyal to us because they depend so much on American aid. I mean, Egypt receives extraordinary amounts of American aid. So we feel that we can control them, and that's safer. Whereas the Muslim Brotherhood, that would be a pretty rocky road, no doubt about it, if they came to power. I mean, the U.S. relationship with Egypt would change rather dramatically.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever it comes to a question of democracy or, furthering American geostrategic, geopolitical interests in the Middle East, we always go with the latter. It's mm-hmm. easier.
Now, do you have any hints or indication that covertly the United States is providing support or even just encouragement to these pro-democratic groups in countries where we support the dictator in charge?
There's really very, very little indication that that's the case. I mean, there may be some sort of covert contact with the Muslim Brotherhood. I don't think so. I mean, I've been told that there just isn't communication at this point. And that's really, really hard to fathom. I mean, in the case of Hamas and Hezbollah, both who have participated in democratic elections, at least there's the explanation the United States can offer is, well, they have militias and they, Hamas has committed acts of violence against civilians, so we won't talk to them. And Hezbollah has an armed militia, and we don't like that, and they're hostile to Israel, and they just have to get rid of that militia before we'll deal with them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, I'm not sure that that's that's a sufficient answer. But in the case of the Muslim Brotherhood, there's really no reason at all. There's no clear or logical reason not to talk to them. I mean, they have, as I said, renounced violence. And across the Middle East, I mean, there are, I wasn't aware how many Islamic groups there were across the Middle East that have, really decided to try the democratic route. There are dozens of them,
mm-hmm.
and we pretty much shut them out. There are some instances in which the Islamic parties are considered safe enough and careful enough that we have at least talked to them, but not many cases. For the most part, we just shut them out entirely.
Ken Silverstein from Harper's. We're going to take a break and return. We'll talk more about his powerful article about attempts at democracy in the Islamic world next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in SoCal Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive and Porter Street in SoCal.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens, he cares. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
The Peter B. Collins Show continues. I'm your humble host, Peter B., 33 minutes after the hour. We continue our conversation with Ken Silverstein, journalist and Harper's Magazine's Washington editor. His powerful new piece is in the March issue of Harper's. And I have to flip back here to get the title exactly right. Parties of God, the Bush Doctrine, and the Rise of Islamic Democracy. Can you point out that one of the, you write, the strange collision of Western liberalism with Islamic tradition is starkest in discussions of the role of women. And whether it's symbolized by the veil or in more extreme cultures, the burqa, it's very clear that women have a long way to go, baby. If they are able to achieve even some role
in future democracies. We know that in Kuwait and Saudi Arabia, most women aren't permitted to drive, much less vote, or, you know, really operate on par with their husbands or other males. Do we have a prospect of some sort of democracy developing for men only in this part of the world?
Well, you know, Saudi Arabia is the one case that people point to all the time and then confuse with the other, you know, however many Islamic countries there are, several dozen. It's true women in Saudi Arabia don't drive. And once again, a different caveat. No, do women, I mean, you know, women don't have the same role that women do in Western countries in the Arab world and in the Middle East. At the same time, it's not quite as restricted as we tend to believe. We tend to think that every woman in a veil is, you know, under the thumb of a domineering male, which I think is a little bit misleading. You know, I met women in Lebanon, where I traveled as well, in Egypt, who were very outspoken, very assertive, yet they chose the veil because of, for their religious beliefs. Again, I'm not trying to suggest that we, you know, there's nothing to this, by no means, but Saudi Arabia is a rather extreme example.
Mm-hmm.
In Egypt, women do play a fairly significant role in the Muslim Brotherhood. Do they play a 50-50 role with men? No, absolutely not. There are no women in the top political leadership in the Muslim Brotherhood, at least that anyone knows of. The political hierarchy is not entirely public. I mean, we know who most of the leaders are, but we certainly don't know the full hierarchy because they say the government is constantly tossing us into jail, so we're not going to give them a roadmap.
Mm-hmm.
But there aren't any women who are known to be top figures in the Muslim Brotherhood. Now, they will also say, I spoke to women there about it, and they will say, well, there used to be a Muslim sisterhood, and that was disbanded because, you know, women were, the leaders of that were thrown into jail and beaten and raped, and we felt that was not a risk that women should be taking. But in any case, if they're not leaders, they are active. They're very, very active in the movement. They vote. Some of them run for office. There was a Muslim sister who ran for parliament last year, and who would have won except the government cheated her out of the victory. They organize protests, they march, they demonstrate. Do they have the role that women in this country, or at least a lot of women in this country, like to have, which is a role of rough equality? I guess probably a lot of women would argue that they still haven't quite achieved that either, but in any case,
yep.
I think that, it's not an identical situation. There's no question about it. But it's not the stereotype that I think we perceive in the West. Again, Saudi Arabia is the one country where women don't drive, and people tend to think that that's true everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you'll see. I mean, I've seen this, in newspaper columns by people who you think should be pretty sophisticated,
mm-hmm.
who will go, you know, they'll go to Sudan. I was in Sudan a few years ago. I recently saw a column in the New York Times where the writer was talking about how women, you know, just don't drive in most parts of the Arab world. And it's just not true.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere but Saudi Arabia, you'll find women driving. Sudan, we think of as a very, you know, conservative country. Women drive in Sudan, it's pretty common.
Well, and I'll plead guilty, at least to a misdemeanor, because I link Saudi Arabia and Kuwait. I was under the impression that Kuwaiti women couldn't drive either.
I don't think that's true. I think
mm-hmm.
Saudi Arabia is the only country where women, the apologists for the regime would say that they're not formally banned from driving, but that's effectively the case. But
mm-hmm.
I believe we looked into that very closely when we were writing the piece and fact-checking the piece, and believe that Saudi Arabia is the only country actually where women can't drive.
Now, Ken, I chided you a couple of minutes back about these caveats that keep coming up, and as I read your story, you have had struggles with editors over copy that you submitted that apparently didn't have enough caveats in it.
Well, you know, the one thing I ran into, because I worked for the Los Angeles Times when I originally traveled to the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
I went to Lebanon to do a story about Hezbollah, and I found it was very difficult to write about for the Los Angeles Times. And there, you know, the fundamental problem, I think, was that there was a fear of offending supporters of Israel. There was one line in particular that was repeatedly cut from the story over my objections, which said that at the time that Israel was created, the Jewish state was created on land that was overwhelmingly populated by Arabs. And this is just this is a historical fact. I mean, the Palestine at the time of partition was about two-thirds Arab and one-third Jewish. And, you know, you can't wish that away. I mean, people would like to believe otherwise, but the simple historical facts will bear me out on this. I mean, the figures I took were from the Jewish Agency for Palestine.
Mm-hmm.
And what I said to the editors and why I wanted to make the point in the story is that I think we constantly state and we believe that, you know, we're hated in the Arab world because of our freedoms and, you know, our Western freedoms.
I thought it was the bad movies.
Right, and the role of women and all of this other stuff. We're hated not for what we think or believe. I think we're hated for what we do, and they hate American foreign policy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I said to the editors, look, if we can't even give the Arabs their point of view on this, if we can't even, you know, state this, show that, hey, okay, I'm not saying let's abolish Israel, let's do away with the Jewish state, but let's give them their viewpoint. Let's acknowledge that they have legitimate grievances.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't do that, then we caricature them as a bunch of rabid Jew haters and, you know, reduce the whole conflict to religious hatred on the part of Arabs toward Jews, which is just completely simplistic. Yes, there's plenty of religious hatred on both sides, and religious hatred, I think, has really polluted the conflict in a stronger way
mm-hmm.
in more recent years. But fundamentally, you know, from the Palestinian perspective, it's a conflict about land and national identity, neither of which they are allowed to have.
And so, Ken, without getting too personal, I infer from your surname that you're Jewish. How does that play with your editors when you fight with them over the fairness of your stories, trying to be fair to these Islamic sources or groups? And also, how does it play when you interview people in that part of the world and they look at you and say, can I trust you?
Well, with my editors, I don't think it was really an issue. I really believe that there was concern that we would offend supporters of Israel, and that was certainly an issue in the way that my story was edited, to the point that I decided I couldn't run the piece in the newspaper and pulled it. In terms of being in the Middle East, I mean, it's really quite interesting. I didn't advertise the fact that I was Jewish. I interviewed senior officials in Hezbollah and the Muslim Brotherhood, and you know, they're sophisticated people. They know somebody with my surname is Jewish, and it even came up in Lebanon a couple of times. But you know, I have no way of knowing what they think of me, or if that changed the way they viewed me. But I know that I was treated very well. I know that I was given a lot of time. I mean, in the case of Hezbollah, I met with one of the senior officials three times, including two separate three-hour interviews. I was treated very well. I was treated extremely well everywhere I went in the Middle East, particularly in Lebanon. And again, I mean, the leadership of the movements I met with certainly knew I was Jewish. The people on the street didn't. I mean, in Lebanon, not only do I look Lebanese, apparently, but I look like I belong to Hezbollah because I have a beard and I was wearing blue jeans and a leather jacket.
Uh-huh.
So I was actually, you know, I was allowed to attend a speech by Hassan Nasrallah, the head of Hezbollah, because mm-hmm. the person at the Hezbollah press office said, you know, I asked if I could go. There was about 20,000 people who attended this speech.
And did you wear that fashion accessory from Banana Republic, the fake cartridge belt?
I didn't do that. I just had jeans, a leather jacket, a sweater, and, and I have a beard. But in any case, the Hezbollah press official, first he said, no, you can't go because it would attract attention. Then he looked at me and he said, you know what, if you don't speak English, no one will know you're not one of us. So sure, go ahead, just don't speak English when you're there.
Mm-hmm.
So, but no, I mean, look, is there anti-Jewish feeling in Lebanon and Egypt? Of course there is. I mean, on a personal level, did I experience it? I never did. I was
mm-hmm.
treated extremely well. I mean, people invited me into their homes, and they treated me extremely well. So on a personal level, I didn't experience it, which, of course, is not to say it doesn't exist, because it clearly does.
Let me close our discussion on this article, and there's much more to it. I encourage people to pick up Harper's and read it, or it might be available at harpers.org. In fact, by scorning politically active Islamic movements and denying their legitimacy, the United States is essentially signaling to the Middle Eastern public that electoral politics are a meaningless dead end. Precisely the same message that this public hears from al-Qaeda. Last year, Ayman al-Zawahiri, he's the Egyptian number two to Osama, issued a video that attacked the Muslim Brotherhood for participating in elections, saying that it played into America's political game of exploiting the masses and their love for Islam. In another video, he criticized Hamas, saying that armed jihad, not elections, was the only way to liberate Palestine. If America refuses to engage with Islamist movements, however foreign or flawed their ideas may seem, al-Zawahiri's anti-democratic rhetoric may be increasingly well-received. Ken, I wanted to turn next to some things that I saw posted at your blog, and if I'm not mistaken, got distributed to some newspapers as well. This was a two-part that you posted of a couple of forums with first some insiders, CIA officials, and then with some independent analysts, and all this is focused around the speculation about the Bush administration's intentions toward Iran. And let me just, I'll lift one paragraph here to get this started. Milt Bearden, a former senior CIA officer, served as station chief in Pakistan and also, until the Soviet withdrawal from Afghanistan in 89. And you quote him saying, "As insane as the prospect for war might seem to those of us who've spent parts of our lives in the shadow of a mosque, it is impossible to ignore the drumbeats for war with Iran. Yes, I think Americans should be prepared to wake up one morning and find themselves at war with Iran." Now, we've talked to a number of sources. In fact, we've covered this issue quite a bit over the last 9 months, and it really does seem to be building. What's the consensus that you picked up from these two panels that you interviewed?
Well, first, it was three panels.
Three, okay.
I just want to specify, and people can go to harpers.org and look for them. We got a lot of play with that. One were independent analysts. The second was with former CIA officials, including Milt Bearden, and the third was with think tank folks.
Gotcha.
There wasn't exactly a consensus, but it's certainly true that I interviewed 10 people, and just about all of them believe that there's a real chance that there is going to be some sort of military confrontation. Not that it is inevitable and not that it is a certainty, but it's a possibility, either by design on the part of the Bush administration or because we've created a situation now where, we could even blunder into war because we've got so many warships floating around the Persian Gulf now, and we've got this rhetoric on overdrive and all sorts of threats being made and accusing Iran of destabilizing Iraq. I mean, one of the people I talked to said if I was sitting in Tehran, my indicator lights would have burnt out by now. So there is not, I would not say that of the 10 people there was a clear consensus that a confrontation is coming, but there's a clear consensus that it's a real possibility, that, it's not something that we should put in the realm of 5% or 10%. I personally think, I'm going to have to waffle here. My own view is that it's about 50%, and I would, if I had to bet, I would say that there won't be a military confrontation, because, I think the Bush administration is severely constrained after the loss of the midterm elections.
Mm-hmm.
I think, if Iraq had gone well, I think they would have already invaded Iran. I think they probably would have.
All right, let's pause. We'll pick up there after the break. Ken Silverstein with us, the Washington editor for Harper's Magazine. If you have a question or comment, give us a call toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. More in a moment on the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to the news, KRXA 540.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540. If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
You got cooking. How's about cooking something up with me?
I'll tell you what I got cooking. Dinner's Ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment, and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinner's ready?
That's right, dinner's ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready!
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
One Day Income Tax Service, family owned and operated since 1944, specializes in year-round professional tax preparation. Do you want your refund quickly? Stop by One Day Income Tax Service. They offer tax preparation at reasonable rates and work to meet the needs of military families with the capacity to process all out-of-state returns. If you prefer to prepare your own return at home, they can help you expedite your refund by filing your return electronically. Let One Day Income Tax Service assist you with your return and maximize your refund. Stop by 885 Broadway Avenue in Seaside, where no appointment is necessary. Looking for quick, professional, and reasonable tax return preparation? Visit One Day Income Tax Service, 885 Broadway Avenue, Seaside, or call 394-8010. That's 831-394-8010. One Day Income Tax Service, where you walk in with a copy of your most recent tax return, personal ID, and W-2 1099 info for 2006, and you walk out with your completed tax return.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 a.m. from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
Thinking is risky when we apply it to Bush and Cheney. And they really do seem hell-bent if you take the blueprint from the Project for a New American Century and you combine it with the rhetoric and the movements of American military ships and other resources. You can certainly see the outlines of what could develop.
Oh, look, I mean, I'm not dismissing the possibility. That's why I said, I put it at about 50-50, although...
Yeah, that's not a dismissal. I understand that.
Yeah. No, I mean, there are all sorts of reasons to, I happen to think that attacking Iran is completely crazy, and I certainly hope it doesn't happen. I am, I think there are grounds for serious concern. I guess I'm trying, this is unlike me, I'm trying to look on the optimistic side. And I think that because the president is so constrained politically, and because there's obviously serious opposition to this on the part of the Pentagon, and for a variety of other reasons, could it happen? Absolutely.
Well, also, I
agree with Beard, and I wouldn't, if I wake up tomorrow morning and find out that we've, been blasting away at Iran, it wouldn't stun me, but I would bet against it.
Well, and most Americans wouldn't be stunned because they still have their American Idol hangover. But the other thing that I look at again when I'm thinking rationally is the example of the Israeli air war against Lebanon, Hezbollah, last summer.
Mm-hmm.
And there are true limits to what we can do without committing ground troops. We don't have those troops. And as Jimmy Carter saw, trying to rescue the hostages, invading Iran is a very, very difficult task. You can certainly bomb the hell out of them and lob missiles from all over the place, but it won't necessarily give you the desired result, and it stirs up a proverbial hornet's nest.
Exactly, and I think that that's understood. I mean, there are people in the administration who don't understand that, who don't want to understand that, but certainly I think the Pentagon understands that. That matters, and I think there are people in the administration, too, who recognize that it's not going to be easy, and it's not, you know, that what you could achieve strategically might be very, very limited. In exchange, you would have all sorts of potentially very nasty consequences. So that's why I'm hoping and thinking that wisdom or something passing for wisdom might prevail and that this won't take place.
Mm-hmm. Ken, let's just shift into another direction. Is there any story out of Washington this week that you think got short shrift because of all the speculation over Anna Nicole Smith's body and what's her name going into rehab and out of it four times? And aside from the Obama-Clinton contest that's underway, anything that occurred that you think people ought to know about?
Boy, you're putting me on the spot here.
I know.
I mean, don't you think that if not for Iraq and Iran, we would have gotten even more and better coverage of Anna Nicole and Britney Spears? I mean, that's the way I look at it, surely.
Uh-huh.
Well, obviously I'm being sarcastic here. I think the issues that are getting the most coverage are the ones that are the most important in this case, I guess. I mean, you know, Iraq and Iran really are dominating, and for good reason. I mean, mm-hmm. You know, the situation in Iraq, obviously, it's you know, as horrible as it is, it's like that train wreck you just can't turn away.
Mm-hmm. What was your take on the Washington Post Victoria Tensing's piece about the Libby trial and the people she thinks should have been indicted, either in addition to or besides Scooter?
Oh, well, God, I'm embarrassed to say here, but if I'm to be honest, I haven't been really following the Libby trial all that much. I know I'm alone here, that
uh-huh.
A lot of everyone I know has been. But I guess I just, you know, I've always felt like the Libby trial has received more coverage than it really merits in some ways. I mean, there are so many other issues out there in terms of the administration's actions and activities that disturb me more than the Libby trial somehow.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm sorry, I just can't get all that worked up about it. And so I have to plead ignorance here. I didn't read her piece.
Oh, okay.
Sorry about that.
Well, no, you're certainly entitled. I do have a different take, mainly because this is the only real indictable offense that has been, you know, brought this far through the process. And I think that it does expose a lot about the inner workings of the White House, their sensitivity to the stories of the truth about pre-war intel, and the incredible power that Dick Cheney has. So I think there are interesting angles there.
Oh, there are interesting angles. I guess, you know, you said it's only indictable offense that's gotten through the pipeline to this point. Yes, it's the only one that's gotten through the pipeline to this point, but I don't know. I guess, you know, it's a part of that pre-war intelligence story that I think really, you know, I think if the Democrats had just had the courage back in 1987 to impeach Ronald Reagan, which should have been done for Iran-Contra, then the Bush administration wouldn't have been able to get away with all of these abuses, and that the power of the executive would have been checked. And, you know, the Democrats, up until now that they've won this Congress, they're taking a more aggressive stance. But there's a whole lot of issues that could be looked at. And, you know, to me, the Libby story is part of that pre-war intelligence story. That, to me, I think is, you know, extraordinarily interesting and needs to be probed very, very deeply to see what else lies there. But I guess my view is that the Libby piece, it's just a piece of that puzzle, and that bigger picture is what interests me.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Well, Ken, thanks for spending this hour with us, and thanks for the powerful new article in Harper's. I recommend it for a great read, and we'll talk to you again sometime soon.
I appreciate it. Thanks so much.
My pleasure.
Bye-bye.
And also log on to harpers.org and check out Ken Silverstein's page there, This Week in Babylon. Coming up next, Professor Bo Grosskopf returns from Chico State. He's got a book out called Strategic Terror. We're going to get his view on the conflict or portending conflict with Iran. I'm Peter B. Collins.
The Billy Sunshine Show.
Billy Sunshine Show.
With P-Lar.
Sunday at 3 o'clock, we're going to be doing something new, something different, or we'll do the same old thing, take your phone calls. One thing we know for sure, I'll have something to say. What? I don't know. I never know until I've said it. Find out what's the next thing to come out of my mouth.
The Billy Sunshine Show with P-Lar.
Sundays from 3 to 5.
3 to 5. On AM 540, KRXA.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Straightening out Walter Reed Army Hospital.
This is unacceptable, and it will not continue.
One less Democrat running for the White House.
It is money and only money that is the reason that we are leaving today.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Peter King. One of the nation's top veterans hospitals is about 10 miles away from the Pentagon, but it may as well have been light years for veterans who've been reportedly living under deplorable conditions there. Top defense officials say they didn't know about it until they saw it in the Washington Post. CBS News reporter Tom Foti has the latest.
Defense Secretary Gates concedes of some military outpatients at Walter Reed Army Hospital.
They battled our foreign enemies. They should not have to battle an American bureaucracy.
So Gates is asking a high-level group to come up with quick-fix recommendations.
This group, which consists of 8 military, medical, and political leaders, will take a broad look at all our rehabilitative care and administrative processes here at Walter Reed and at the National Naval Medical Center.
Gates says he has briefed the president on this and basically thanked the Washington Post for exposing it. Tom Foti, CBS News, Washington.
Now this.
Buying a used car can be filled with pitfalls, but there's one sure way to avoid stumbling. Buy a Honda certified used car. Only well-maintained late model Hondas are eligible. Each undergoes a 150-point inspection and then backed by one of the best warranties in the business. Plus now, you can get low APR financing on all certified used Honda Odyssey and Pilot models. Feeling a little more sure-footed, aren't we? Honda certified used cars. Hey, it may be used, but it's still a Honda.
See dealer for financing and limited warranty details.
Appearing on DVD and Blu-ray disc, The Prestige, from the director of Batman Begins.
I work at that room.
It was the greatest magic trick I've ever seen.
Hugh Jackman.
I need to know how he does it.
Christian Bale.
You want the truth?
Michael Caine.
He has no truth. It's real.
Scarlett Johansson.
No more secrets.
Secrets of my life.
Rolling Stone says you want to see it again the second it's over. The Prestige. Own it today on DVD and Blu-ray disc. Rated PG-13 for violence and disturbing images.
He was barely in, so now he's out. Former Iowa Governor Tom Vilsack says campaign money is coming up short, so he's leaving the race for the White House.
The boat was at the dock. It was ready to be launched. And what would you do? Would you just simply walk away from it, or would you get in the boat and see where it took you? Well, we got in the boat. We took a great journey, but it's time to bring the boat back to the dock.
Mike Allen writes for Politico.com.
Governor Vilsack raised more than $1 million, was traveling around, but he saw how difficult it was going to be against 2 celebrity candidates. This was a race that was going to require tremendous resources even to play.
50 years after President Eisenhower sent troops to take black students into an all-white high school in Little Rock, a federal judge has ended federal supervision there. Ted Shaw is with the NAACP Legal Defense Fund.
The age of mandatory desegregation is coming to a close, and the Little Rock school case being dismissed is another milestone along that journey.
More than 2/3 of Little Rock students are African American. With a black majority of the school board, the judge says he's comfortable that the district will keep improving things there. They're watching the Iran-Iraq border very carefully, but now the U.S. has apologized after the son of the head of Iraq's largest Shiite party was arrested. CBS News correspondent Cammie McCormick.
U.S. troops detained, then released Amar al-Hakim, and the U.S. ambassador apologized for the mistake. It happened at the border crossing at Zerbachia, where U.S. teams have been working with Iraqi border guards to step up security. Hakim was held for several hours. His father is one of the country's most powerful Shiite leaders.
President Bush has been stumping for alternative energy this week, and as CBS News correspondent Mark Noller reports, the campaign has rolled right up into the White House driveway.
It looked like a mini car dealership outside the diplomatic entrance of the White House. Two cars parked at angles with their hoods and trunks open for inspection. One was a plug-in hybrid, the other an all-electric vehicle.
Americans ought to feel optimistic about our future. We're going to be driving our cars using all kinds of different fuels other than gasoline.
The photo op was another effort by President Bush to pitch his plan to cut U.S. consumption of gasoline by 20% over 10 years. Mark Noller, CBS News, the White House.
Anna Nicole Smith's estranged mother has filed an emergency request to block her burial in the Bahamas. A Los Angeles judge says someone set out a fake injunction with his name on it. The judge in a paternity hearing says he's not sure that he's got the jurisdiction to order DNA samples be taken from Smith's five-month-old daughter who lives in the Bahamas. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
The following is an OnStar conversation.
OnStar Center, this is Sandy. How can I help you?
Can you check a service engine light?
Well, of course, I can take care of that for you.
OnStar can run a diagnostic check of your vehicle's key systems while you're driving.
When was the last time you put fuel in the Montana?
The day before yesterday.
What I'm showing is an emission system malfunction. What it means is that your fuel cap's not on tight enough.
Oh, well, wonderful.
Only GM offers so many vehicles with the peace of mind of OnStar.
All you're going to need to do is take it off and put it back on, and then the light will go off. That's all that's wrong.
Thank you. I'll do it right now.
Can I assist with anything else?
No, nope, that's fine.
Do remember that we're here to help you 24 hours a day. Thank you for using OnStar.
The first year of OnStar service is included on new OnStar-equipped GM vehicles and covers unlimited use of all safety and security services. To experience OnStar, press your blue button or visit OnStar.com. OnStar by GM.
One, two, three, four.
Got the Peter B. Collins Show. We're live on the air in Phoenix, Arizona, Monterey, California, Coos Bay, Oregon, and Eureka, Humboldt County, California. Good to have you listening. Coming up later this hour, Professor Beau Grosskopf returns to our program. We'll talk about war power and its possible application against Iran. But first, Veterans for Peace is an organization that has been sponsoring various demonstrations, office occupations, to keep the couches warm and the magazines fresh in the waiting rooms of members of Congress and the United States Senate across the country. Joining us to describe this effort is Michael McPherson. He's the executive director of Veterans for Peace. Michael, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you very much for having me.
Well, it's my pleasure. Give us a quick sketch. Who are Veterans for Peace? How many people have joined your organization over the last few years?
Well, Veterans for Peace is a not-for-profit organization of veterans from World War II up to the current conflict, and also people that have served in what many call peacetime. We were started in 1985, and we basically grew out of the Vietnam Veterans Movement, the Vietnam Veterans Against the War Movement.
Mm-hmm.
And after Vietnam War was over, you know, many people, not only veterans, but people across the country, kind of went home and thought that maybe we wouldn't have to be where we are today, unfortunately. But a number of veterans continue to stand up against militarism, and two issues motivated them. One was what was going on in Central Latin America.
Mm-hmm.
Another one was nuclear proliferation. So the first chapter was started in Maine. And from that time,
Well, let's just say prior to 9/11, we probably had 700 members. But today, I think as a result of the Bush administration being so out of control, but also because people are looking for an alternative to fear and war, we have over 6,700 members.
Mm-hmm. And whose idea was it to occupy congressional offices to send a message that we want to end this war and we want to do it now?
Well, there's an organization called Voices for Creative Nonviolence. That has this campaign called the Occupation Project. And many people might know Kathy Kelly, who is a great peace activist and has been very active in many parts of the Middle East and in Iraq to try to stop, you know, U.S. militarism. She's one of the founders of that organization. And they decided to put together or coordinate where we would go to congresspersons, senators, and representatives' office and ask them to sign a statement or make a public statement saying that they will not provide any further funding for the war in Iraq and occupation, and that if you cannot say and or sign publicly that you won't continue funding, then we'll just stay here and until you change your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So.
So you've been surging into their offices.
Yeah. That's a good way to put it. Yes, yes, we have. We've had a number of our members participating in that, and, of course, other people across the country are doing that as well.
Now, I understand that recently a few arrests have occurred. Who are the officials who don't welcome your members to their offices?
Well, you know, I wouldn't go so far as to say that the people aren't welcomed, but what happens is that since the senators and reps do not want to say that they're not going to fund the war and people are staying, then when it's time for them to go home,
mm-hmm.
that's when they're saying to people, well, you need to leave now, and our members and others are saying, no, we're not. And that's when people usually get arrested. So here in St. Louis, for example, not so much Veterans for Peace members yet. We have some plans to actually occupy maybe next week or the week after. But Representative Carnahan of Missouri, we've had Project Occupation people participate in his office. And the first night, people stayed till like 11, 12 o'clock. And then they fooled the occupiers. They had someone come in pretending like they were an FBI agent and said, okay, time to go, like they were escorting them to jail. And when they walked out the door, they closed the door behind them.
Oh.
So they fooled them a little bit.
Uh-huh.
But the second night, about five people got arrested. So that's basically what's been going on when the offices close.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happened.
Now, do your members, when they go into these offices, are they considerate and generous? Do they, you know, offer to clean out the coffee pot, bring their own magazines, tidy up the sofa?
No, they don't do that. What they've been doing is things like reading a list of people who've been killed, you know, reading the names of the U.S. military dead, maybe ringing a bell after each name, also reading names and ages of Iraqis who have been killed, also engaging with the staff, and if possible, this is a big part of it, engaging with the staff and if possible the representative or senator about why we believe the thing to do is to cut the funding for the war, and it's important to distinguish that between cutting funding for the troops, why that is the thing to do now, and trying to get them to move on that. So once again, at Carnahan's office, the representative, you know, he's been in Washington. This week he's here. And they would call the representative and talk to them on the phone and things of that nature, and that's basically what's been going on.
Mm-hmm. Any, you know, heartwarming or other kinds of connections that have occurred? I mean, some of these are very good people who have the right intentions, and I'm sure that while they don't like their office to be bottled up, they recognize that these are important messages and that people are delivering them in a civil and a responsible way.
That's right. Well, first of all, let me say that we have a chapter in the Boston area called the Smedleys. And Smedley Butler was a Marine a general who, after he got out of the Marines, or maybe before he got out, but certainly afterwards, he realized that he was kind of like a high-paid killer. And he actually wrote a book called War is a Racket, and I suggest people go out and read that book. It's a very good book. Anyway, they occupied Representative Edward J. Markey's office in Medford, Massachusetts, and he actually came out and decided to sign a statement saying that he will not fund the war. So there is an example of a success story. We have Lacey Clay here in the Missouri area, who many of our members and other people living here in Missouri have been talking to and trying to get him to move. And at least verbally, two nights ago, he made a pledge not to not to continue to fund the war. Mm-hmm. But we are having success.
Now, if people who are not veterans or not members of Veterans for Peace want to support your efforts, is there a website or another place where they can express some solidarity?
Yes. Actually, if there's different ways to participate in the occupation project, and I suggest that you go to Voices for Creative Nonviolence website, and that would be vcnv.org. Mm-hmm. Once again, that's vcnv.org. You can sign up to participate in occupation. And when I say various ways, one is standing outside of the representative's offices with signs, letting people know that you're against the war, you know, defund the war, et cetera, while people are inside occupying. You can bring food to people. You know, there's different ways at each location, and they'll help you figure out how you can plug in. And then you never know, as you participate more and you start to see that it's making a difference, you might choose to occupy as well.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can occupy, and then let's say you don't want to be arrested. When the time comes, you might decide to leave, and three or four people who don't mind staying can stay. At least you were there to show solidarity through that time period.
All right, very good. Michael McPherson is our guest. He's Executive Director of Veterans for Peace, and they're conducting sit-ins or office occupations to gain the attention and hopefully the support of members of Congress and the Senate to cut off support for the war in Iraq. We've got a couple of callers on the line. One is a member of Vets for Peace in Santa Cruz, another from Northern California. We'll get to them right after a quick break. If you'd like to check in, our lines are open for you right now. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens, he cares. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
And TGIF, everybody, let's take a look at traffic on this Getaway Friday. While we do have a problem reported, let's take a look at Santa Cruz Mountains. Actually, no problems there, which is great on Highway 17 Clear Ride. San Jose, however, we do have a problem southbound 884 Gish Road. Three vehicles are on the right shoulder there, and CHP says it's causing quite a big problem. Salinas, northbound 101 at Laurel Drive, we do have an accident reported there. This apparently is a solo vehicle that went off the roadway, so be advised about this particular situation. And Highway 9 and Ensenal Street, construction work going on there. This report brought to you by McDonald's. I'm Mike. That's traffic.
A Bush's War on Terror.
There's this great Popeye cartoon where he gets inside a Bluto's shirt and he's popping out of his sleeves going, here I am, over here, you. And Bluto is confused. He's going,
hey, where'd you, why you,
And he's trying to beat up Popeye and he ends up pummeling himself. And that is the war on terror.
That is the war on terror. It's the war on terror.
There's this old joke where a guy is walking home late at night. He sees another guy under a streetlight, searching frantically in the gutter. He says, hey man, what did you lose? Guy says, I dropped my keys about six blocks away. Why aren't you looking over there? Guy says, the light's better over here. And that is the war on terror.
That is the war on terror.
And that's Roy Zimmerman from the CD Faulty Intelligence. We continue now with Michael McPherson, Executive Director of Veterans for Peace. Their members have been visiting the congressional offices of select members and occupying those offices, trying to get those officials to sign on to a plan to exit Iraq. We're joined now by Daniel from Santa Cruz, who is a member of Veterans for Peace Chapter 11. Welcome, Daniel.
Hello, Peter. How are you?
I'm okay today, thanks.
Thank you, Peter. And I wanted to give a big shout-out to all the Veterans for Peace that are occupying congressional offices. My hat's off to you. I salute you. And, Peter, I'd like to let you know that I'm a Vietnam veteran. I'm a member of Veterans for Foreign Wars. But they don't do the work, the kind of work that Veterans for Peace does. They're too restrained by their flag-waving leadership. Mm-hmm. So I've joined the Veterans for Peace, and I want to commend Michael for all the fine work he's done. But I'd also like to tell you that you can join your local chapter of Veterans for Peace, as can all of your listeners. You don't have to be a veteran to be an associate member, and you can support the fine work that Veterans for Peace is trying to do by being an associate member.
Well, I'm skeptical of any group that would have me as a member, but thank you for the invitation.
Thank you very much,
Michael,
for calling in.
Michael, do you have another comment? I'm particularly interested in his contrasting of Veterans for Peace with the VFW, and I mean no disrespect to the VFW.
Right. Well, you know, the veterans are very diverse, just like the population. And most people, unfortunately, right now don't have a vision of what a peaceful world could be like. So a number of veterans have come together and said, hey, we can break the mold, we can lead the way. And that's what Veterans for Peace is doing, and we hope to bring as many veterans as possible to this new vision of what the world can be like.
Daniel, thanks for checking
Peter,
in.
Peter, just wanted to one
go
more
ahead.
Comment.
Sure.
In Santa Cruz, Chapter 11 has maybe more members that aren't veterans or associate members that aren't veterans than those that are veterans. So there's a great opportunity for the public to join the organization and use that as a sounding board.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you, Daniel. Now to Dave in Eureka, who I know is very active. Welcome, Dave.
Hey, Peter. And Michael, a very proud member of Chapter 56 up here in Humboldt County. In fact, in about a half hour, as I do every week, we'll be standing out in front of our courthouse with the big signs. But our numbers are now up in the 70s for visiting our congressman every Monday here, because we have a congressman who wants very much to make the public believe we're all on the same page. So we pull out Lynn Woolsey's H.R. 508 and say, this is the page that we're on. Are you on there with us? And no, he's not. He doesn't want to sign it. He's introduced his own measure. It's the equivalent of the Barack Obama measure in the assembly, in the Congress.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a bill that would get us out of Iraq in about 250 years. Because it leaves it all to the discretion of Bush, pretty much, and requires things from the Iraqis that just could never happen. But love being a part of your group and what we're all about. I think it's an excellent, excellent chance for salvaging this country.
Well, Dave, thank you for your efforts, and I really appreciate everything you do.
Thank you, Peter. I'm obviously a regular with Peter, too, Mike.
Okay.
Thank you, Dave. And also, if you guys can handle a lighter moment, Andy Borowitz at theborowitzreport.com today reports that Bush is planning to bring the troops home on JetBlue.
Thank you.
Frank and Marina, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today with Mike McPherson.
Hey, Mike, congratulations on a fine job you're doing. I'm with
Thank you.
Monterey Chapter 46.
All right.
I want to tell you, last 4th of July, we marched in the Independence Day Parade in Monterey. I guess there were about maybe 12 or 15 of us from Veterans for Peace. And we received standing ovations from the crowd. And this area, there's a lot of military people here. You have the Defense Language Institute, the Naval Postgraduate School, and a lot of retired military people here.
From Fort Ord, yeah?
Yeah, from Fort Ord. And let me tell you something. There were a lot of people with short haircuts that stood up, that were sitting on a curb or sitting in, folding chairs. And I felt like all those World War II veterans coming home on marching down Broadway in New York City after World War II. We were so proud that we got so much applause. And
weren't you so successful that they're changing the rules this year to prevent you from marching in that parade?
I went to the city council meeting with many people in the peace groups here in Monterey, Peter, Tuesday night. And I just got an email the other day that said they ruled unanimously 5-0 that they won't tamper with the marchers this year.
I'm glad to hear that.
So everybody, we had a chance to speak out. We got our 3 minutes of fame, and we made a compelling case not to censor any peace groups.
Well, I am really gratified, and especially with a unanimous vote.
Oh, 5-0.
Yeah, great. Frank, anything else? I'm tight for time.
Yeah. Next time you talk to Stan Goff, give him my regards.
Okay.
One of my heroes, Michael.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much, Frank. Bye. And again, if you would like to support this effort to occupy congressional offices to help them move in the right direction on Iraq, go to vcnv.org. That's Victor, Charlie, Nancy, Victor, vcnv.org. And that is Voices for Creative Nonviolence. Michael McPherson, I certainly thank you for your efforts. And please let all the Veterans for Peace who are undertaking this action know they've got a lot of support from people like me.
Sure. Sure. And just real quick, you can go to our website, Veterans for Peace, just like it sounds, veteransforpeace.org, to learn more about us.
Thank you so much. All right. Thanks for joining us today, Michael McPherson. Coming up next, Professor Bo Grosskopf from California State University at Chico, the author of Strategic Terror, joins us to talk about his views on the potential for armed conflict with Iran. And Brad Friedman coming up next hour, as usual, with a representative of Common Cause. We'll talk about their differing views on the Holt bill working through the House right now. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey and the Old Granary Building, just two blocks from the aquarium. Or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
To worry about. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. The news is always full of things to worry about, which is why we have a feature called Something Else to Worry About.
Something Else to Worry About.
Thank you. Today's worrisome stories. Iran expanding its nuke program in defiance of the UN. Hand in hand with the story leaked by our own U.S. Central Command that we do indeed have a plan for bombing Iran, just in case. Then there's the story about the new see-through X-ray at airports. Civil libertarians are worried because it could reveal to the government that many of us have genitals. But to me, the most frightening headline of the day is in the Washington Post. Chimps seen hunting with handmade spears. Researchers among the baobab trees of Senegal observed chimpanzees using their hands and teeth to sharpen sticks into spears, then grab them in a Norman Bates grip and repeatedly plunge them into tree hollows to impale small sleeping mammals. The researchers counted 22 spears made by these chimpanzees, the first routine production of deadly weapons ever observed among non-humans. Even scarier, 14 of the spears were made by the female chimps. But scarier yet, if we've only just now discovered them making spears, what else might they be hatching? Which other species might they share them
Something
with?
Something else to yes. worry about.
Exactly, but I do know this much. Whatever the chimpanzees come up with, our new X-ray machines will be able to detect it, and U.S. Central Command will have a plan for bombing it.
Something else.
Enough. Now this.
Okay, this is how I run my business. I put receipts at the front of the shoebox. Unpaid invoices go in the back.
But, hon, what happens if you drop the shoebox?
I might cry a little.
You know, there's an easier way to manage your business. Use QuickBooks. It's so simple you can be up and running in under 15 minutes. With just a few clicks, QuickBooks software lets you send invoices, see who's paid you and who hasn't, and get ready for tax time.
Great. What'll I do with my shoebox?
Put shoes in it? Just throwing it out there.
QuickBooks. Better, faster, simpler. Get it at Staples, Office Depot, or Sam's Club.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
ZNS Auto Sales in Monterey, family-owned for 30 years, is where partnership works. Whether you're a first-time buyer and need a safe economy car, or looking for a truck or SUV or a classic, they have it all. Call ZNS before you make that final decision. ZNS open every day at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard between the Navy Post Graduate School and Lake El Estero. High-quality used cars at the very best prices. ZNS Auto Sales, where partnership works.
Are you tired of hearing no when applying for a home loan? Is your credit shot due to late payments, bankruptcy, or recent foreclosure? Do you need help purchasing a home or refinancing your existing home? Well, now there is help every Saturday and Sunday morning from 7 to 8 here on KRXA 540 AM. Listen live to national radio host Ken Michaels of Mortgage Makeovers as he doles out simple answers in plain English to your mortgage and finance questions.
Don't feel as good as you do. You're all right. Every man to make my dreams real. I say that you do.
Al Cooper giving another spin to the old Rare Earth tune, Get Ready, because here I come. I'm your humble host, Peter B. Collins. In a moment, we'll talk with Professor Bo Grosskopf. But first, I wanted to update, in particular, our listeners in Phoenix, Arizona, who have heard about some possible changes at KPHX, which is the radio station that brings you the Peter B. Collins Show, the Mighty 1480. There have been some changes there. You may know that Dr. Mike Newcomb left Nova M Radio, the parent of KPHX, this week. He was hosting the morning show and was one of the people who helped bring Progressive Talk back to Phoenix last year. Well, I had a conversation earlier today with Anita Drobny. She's the new CEO of Nova M Radio, and she informed me that they are planning to move this program to a late-night time slot where we would not be live. And while our Phoenix listeners could still hear the show, you wouldn't be able to call in, and the station's low power at night would limit the reach and the access to the program. We don't know exactly when this might take place. She said it might be in March or early April. I made it clear that such a move would be a major disappointment to me, and I believe to many of UKPHX listeners who have been very loyal to this program. Anita said the new plans respond to the wishes of listeners and advertisers who she's talked to. And she told me if you listeners tell her that they want to keep Peter B. live in the afternoon, that she'll listen. Quote, I should only hope that will happen, she said, and I actually wrote that down when she said it. So, my friends in Phoenix, the future of the Peter B. Collins Show is up to you. I feel a pretty powerful connection to you and even to Steve the Republican who calls to give me a hard time. With your support and activism, we may be able to turn this decision around. As a first step, I ask you to email the station and send a copy to me. You can say whatever you want. I'm not going to put words in your mouth. And, Steve, you can even say, I think it would be great to get rid of Peter B. Send it to Billy Foster. He's one of the top dogs there at KPHX. B. Foster at AAPHX.com. That's B. Foster at AAPHX.com. And be nice to Billy. He's a nice guy. I don't think he made the decision. By the way, Billy only has one L. His brothers knocked the other ones out of him. And do send a copy to me, Peter at PeterBCollins.com, and I'll make sure that your comments reach the Drobnys, the decision makers in this case. So if you can, help keep Peter B. live in Phoenix. It's something I'd really like to see. Bo Grosskopf is a professor at the University, the California State University at Chico, professor of international relations. He's been on our program a couple of times, most recently to talk about his book, Strategic Terror, The Politics and Ethics of Aerial Bombardment. Professor, nice to talk with you again.
Nice to talk with you, Peter.
How's life in Chico today?
Well, it's very beautiful, but cold.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Expecting rain and snow over the weekend, so.
Well, I wanted to get your thoughts because on this program, we've been providing almost daily coverage of credible experts who talk about the Bush administration's posture and various indicators, military movements, ratcheted up rhetoric, and some of these potentially provocative events like the way the U.S. Rounded up some Iranians in the Iraqi city of Erbil a couple of weeks ago. And many people add this up and suspect that the Bush administration has aggressive intentions toward Iran and that the situation at minimum has been conflated or hyped to the point where an accidental event could provoke a military conflict. Tell us what you've been hearing and what your current thinking is about this prospect and the potential.
Well, my current thinking is summed up in the statement, fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me, and shame on us. It won't be an accidental event. It will be a provocative event, provoked by the United States and using, in fact, the MEK, this terrorist outfit, which has always been in the State Department's terrorist annual report of terrorist groups in the world. And here we find the United States, the Bush administration, you know, using the instrument of terror to provoke and give an excuse for an attack. We can either read this one of two ways. It's either brinkmanship, hoping that Iran, the Iranian government, will concede and come to the talk under the conditions laid down by the Bush administration, which basically means give up your nuclear program before we'll talk to you, or they're hoping that some sort of reform movement will take hold in Iran. Or they really are intent, these crazy warmongers are intent on attacking. It's clear that that the strategic bombers in the Air Force have the ear of President Bush and Vice President Cheney, and it's clear that they have won the inter-service argument that's been going on in the Pentagon among the Air Force and then the ground forces. And so the ground forces are now getting in place because they don't want to be left out.
Now, one of the things that we've been discussing here is that last summer's 36-day war between Israel and Hezbollah, which was a massive air assault on most of the nation of Lebanon, didn't produce the desired result for Israel. They've sacked the top commander, and they've acknowledged that it not only didn't work out, but what I would draw from it is that it punctured the balloon of the invincibility and the incredible superiority of Israeli military forces vis-a-vis its neighbors. Should we be drawing a lesson from that? In terms of this idea that we can kind of video game style attack Iran with no consequences to the United States and with, a kind of a perfect outcome?
Yeah, we should be drawing that lesson, but we should have drawn that lesson with the shock and awe attack on Iraq. We should have drawn that lesson with past wars. You know, the strategic bombers have always failed in their high-claimed efforts, and yet they've always had the excuse, and you can see that going on with Israel now. The same thing is happening within the political circles and between the military, that strategic bombers are saying, well, you didn't really let us unleash the full power of what we can do.
I call that the Curtis LeMay angle.
It is absolutely right, Peter. Absolutely right. But it continues to go on. It went on with the chalk and awe. It really wasn't, they didn't allow us to go full force. And if you'd only let us do that, why, we can flatten Iran.
Mm-hmm.
And according to the New Statesman article that I think you guys are familiar with, the journalist does a good job of covering the preparations, but unfortunately he's been drinking the strategic bomber's Kool-Aid in terms of being able to flatten Iran overnight and just basically have them surrender.
Well, Professor, all the way from Chico, you read my mind. I was just picking up this printout that I have from the New Statesman, and people can find it on the web, newstatesman.com. The article published on the 19th of February by Dan Plesch, P-L-E-S-C-H. He was on our program earlier this week. And it is fascinating that we can often learn much more from the British press than we ever will from the U.S. press. But let me just read this lift from it. Any U.S. general planning to attack Iran can now assume that at least 10,000 targets can be hit in a single raid with warplanes flying from the U.S. or Diego Garcia. Now, that is an astounding multiplication of the shock and awe that you referred to a moment ago and that you write about in your book, Strategic Terror. Is this really a capability that we have, or is this just a claim that comes from the military-industrial complex?
Well, my research shows that not only is it a pretty much of a bogus claim, but when you add what they always claim as well, is we can hit those 10,000 targets precisely, i.e., we can hit only military targets and save the civilian population. Therefore, it's not an attack of terrorism. But again, history proves from the very time that strategic bombing was used in Spain and on colonial peoples and then throughout the 20th century that both of those claims are pretty hyped.
And the other thing is, we've heard from various sources that the number of potential targets in Iran, in order to achieve the what we believe is the goal of neutralizing or eliminating their nuclear program, you not only have to be able to bust the bunkers at Natanz and some of the other identified sites, but there are clearly some sites we haven't yet pinpointed, and there are others that are probably very close or maybe underneath or above civilians, mosques, schools, that sort of thing. Yet the image that the U.S. Tries to deliver is what you pointed out a moment ago, that all of this is done with ultimate precision.
Well, the notion of precision is an important one. Either you have precise weapons, and so that, for example, the 650,000 Iraqis that you've killed with your bombs, or let's say even 100,000 or 200,000 that you've killed with your bombs, if you have precise weaponry, then you have precision, then you have targeted those civilians in precise ways. That's what we call terrorism. Or you don't have such precision and you're killing them by accident, which means you undermine your argument about precision. You know, this notion of precision started back in World War I, where the British General Trenchard said, yeah, we're going to precisely bomb Berlin, which meant basically we're going to bomb the working class neighborhoods. Well, that was the notion of precision there. It's a very elastic term. They never define what they mean by the term, and so it just gets thrown out there as a public relations campaign.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you're aware, Professor, that we have at least two confirmed carrier groups in the Gulf. There's a little bit of confusion about whether one was to relieve a group that had been there before. But given the stop loss and the way we hold people over on their tours, do you think we are beefing up in the Gulf? And what time window would you predict for this potential assault on Iranian targets?
Well, I don't have a crystal ball, Peter, and, it may surprise you that the Pentagon doesn't really consult with me about their plans, but, there's no doubt that the forces are being beefed up, but again, you beef forces up in preparation for war, you know, if you're a smart military person and a responsible military person, so that indeed you can, you know, have the forces in place to go when the commander-in-chief says go. It's clear that Bush is not going to make what is considered to be a mistake about the attack on Iraq and go with limited force if that's what happens. But it also worked for brinkmanship simply to move carriers and forces closer to the target area. Iran is already surrounded by American bases. There's a number of maps that one can Google and see that even before this beef up, Iran is surrounded by American forces. But, of course, if you're playing brinkmanship or you intend to go, either way, you've got to beef up forces.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to take a quick break and then return with Professor Bo Grosskopf. If you have a question or comment, you can join us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372 puts you through to our program. And we're also going to get his comment on a breaking story coming out of the Pentagon regarding U.S. policy toward cluster bombs. In a word, Bush wants to keep him. More in a moment, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. We know that our children learn by playing, and the caring staff at Thinker Toys will help you choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. Stop by our beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, and the just renovated Thinker Toys at Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Hi, this is Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet Radio Show. Every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview authors, chefs, winemakers, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
And a very pleasant good afternoon, everybody. TGIF. Let's give you the very latest as you folks make your way home tonight. Well, I did want to mention that we have a problem working in, Gonzales, Alta Street at southbound before Corda. We have an accident there, a vehicle that hit a pole, blocking the right lane at this point. Police are on scene, and we have no further information. But Castroville, 156 and Highway 1, we have a big chair blocking the left lane there. Prunedale, southbound 101 before Echo Valley, heads up for a stalled SUV, partially blocking the right lane. So that causing some slowdowns. And this report brought to you by your Genuine Toyota Service Departments through March 4th. Visit your local participating Toyota Service Center for you, and you can win tickets to the Toyota Save Mart 350. No purchase necessary. See deal for official rules. And that is a look at traffic. I'm Mike KRXA.
We got some Adjet rock rolling on the Peter B. Collins Show right now. This is Michael Fronte and Spearhead. Listen carefully to the lyrics here. There's a line in here about the F-16 is a homicide bomber.
Never come with a warning. A revolution never sends you an omen. A revolution just arrived like the morning. Ring the alarm, we come to wake up the snoring. They're telling you to never worry about the future. They're telling you to never worry about the torture. They're telling you that you will never see the horror. Spend it all today and we will bill you tomorrow. Free peace, suits and bank accounts in Bahamas. Wall Street crime will never send you to the slammer. Tell all the children in the arms of the mamas. The F-15 is a homicide bomber. TV commercial for a popper pill culture. Drug companies circling like a vulture. Amaraki babies with the G.I. Joe father. 10 years from now, is anybody gonna bother you? Fire.
If you ever have a chance to see Spearhead live, do it. And send me the bill if it's under $50, okay? I better qualify that. I'll do that for the first person who sends me the bill. Bo Gruskopf is with us. He's a professor at Chico State University here in California, and he's the author of Strategic Terror, The Politics and Ethics of Aerial Bombardment. And Bo Gruskopf, I wanted to ask you, my producer Matt found this story, and he told you about it before we went on the air, and I think that was the first you had heard. But the U.S. today rejected an international call to abandon the use of cluster bombs. A State Department spokesman, Sean McCormack, said, "We take the position that these munitions do have a place and a use in military inventories, given the right technology as well as the proper rules of engagement." Now, we saw that Israel violated the U.S. Export-Import Act by using American-supplied cluster bombs in the war on Lebanon, the attacks on Hezbollah this past summer. And it appears the U.S. hasn't learned from this, Bo, because from what I've read, tens of individuals, I think it's somewhere in the range of 60 or 70, have been killed since the end of Israel's war on Lebanon by these cluster bombs, the little bomblets that are lying around in neighborhoods and city streets.
Yes, and that's going to go on for a long time, Peter. It's interesting that this occurred just today, because yesterday in my class, on the politics of terrorism, I showed a film called Bombies, which is a film, if anybody hasn't seen it, they should. It's a film, and you don't understand what cluster bombs do in the immediate sense when they're dropped, and then in the long-term sense. The farmers and civilians in Laos and all over Indochina are still dealing with these Bombies, as they're called, because many of them, 20 to 30% of them, land and they don't explode, and they end up in the ground. Children pick them up. Farmers dig them up with their farming implements, and they go off, and they just rip a body apart. the people who there are international groups who are trying to get rid of all the explosives, let's say in Laos, and when they explode just one bomb, everybody has to be a quarter of a mile away, just to give you an idea about the dispersion effect of these things. These are anti-personnel weapons. These are weapons of terrorism, because they are aimed at and used against civilians.
Wait a minute, Bo, but we're the good guys. It's okay.
I know it's politically incorrect to say this, Peter, but we are using instruments of terrorism to fight the war on terror. And the cluster bomb is just another piece of evidence, the fact that they will not give up on these cluster bombs when even military personnel who've experienced what they've done, both in the actual dropping of the bombs and the aftermath, say these are simply horrific weapons leveled against civilians. And, when you target civilians, and by the way, all that gobbledygook about that the State Department gave is just to cover the fact that these are horrific weapons. Israel dropped 4 million of them in the last 2 days in southern Lebanon.
Really?
They have a real problem in southern Lebanon.
That's during the last two days?
The last 2 days of that war, they dropped 4 million of them.
Wow, Bo. The other thing that I would point out is our obliviousness to our own hypocrisy. We claimed we had to take out Saddam Hussein because he had weapons of mass destruction, including chemical and bioweapons, that might be passed along to a third party to be used against the United States. And then we went in and we used depleted uranium. We've used white phosphorus not only to light up the sky but as a weapon, and perhaps other biological or chemical devices that we have used in this pretext of taking them away from a terrible dictator. And now we are threatening to use nukes to take away the nuclear capability that Iran doesn't yet have.
Well, unfortunately, all you say that is very true. And, of course, until the American people wake up to the fact and can cut through the rhetoric on the war on terror, And what is being done in their name, you know, they're going to continue. And they're going to continue to diffuse. They're going to continue to obfuscate what, in fact, we are doing, particularly from the air. You know, there's a secret air war going on in Iraq, but it won't get covered by the corporate media.
Mm-hmm.
And there are horrific things that's being done in our name.
Ellen joins us from Phoenix right now. Welcome, Ellen. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Professor Bo Groskop.
Hi. Thanks for...
Don't do that. Okay.
Hey, I've been, you know, just like before we went into Iraq, when Bush was saying, oh, we're not going to go into Iraq, and I told everybody I knew, we're going to go into Iraq, we're going to war with them. Right now, I'm looking for a bumper sticker that says, stop the Iran war now, and I wish I could find one, but... you know, I just have bad feeling that we're going to go to war with Iran because Bush wants to. You know, I think what it is I think he went into Iraq. One of the reasons why is because he couldn't get, he couldn't find Osama bin Laden. So, you know, when he failed there, he went into Iraq so he could win a war. And now he did so horrible in Iraq. I think he wants to go to Iran hoping that the people will get behind him, you know, and because he's a good war president. I don't know. Am I making any sense?
Well, you know what? You're straining, Ellen, to come up with a rational analysis of irrational thought and a potential irrational action. And
you're right.
So the problem is not in your set. And Viktor Frankl famously wrote a book called Man's Search for Meaning, based on his experiences in Nazi concentration camps. And I can remember this vividly from, I think, 8th or 9th grade, that an abnormal response in an abnormal situation is normal. So you're okay. No more Prozac, Ellen.
Well, I got one question. Is there anything we can do? I mean, I try to email my senators and you know, write letters to the editor, but, you know, I just kind of feel like one person.
Let's get a comment from Bo Groskop. Go ahead, Professor.
Well, Ellen, yes, are there things you can do? Whatever you can do, just don't be silent. You ought to know that even those Democratic challengers, Edwards and Hillary Clinton, have on the question of Iran are basically in agreement with George Bush and Dick Cheney. They say nothing is off the table in terms of dealing with the, what they call the Iranian problem. Obama, someone I used to ask him, where is your position on Iran? People need to ask these questions. I applaud Ellen for doing so and encouraging other people to do so as well. You know, as I said earlier, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on us.
And that just shows your superiority to the president because you can recite that properly. And, Ellen, I'm sorry I'm out of time, or I'd let you have, make another comment here. Professor, thank you for joining us. I want to recommend your book, Strategic Terror, The Politics and Ethics of Aerial Bombardment. We've been talking with Bo Grosskopf.
Thank you, Peter. Thanks for the great questions.
Okay, we'll talk again.
Bye.
I'm Peter B. Collins. Brad Friedman joins us next.
United States, you have many rights. You have the right to assemble. You have the right to free speech. You have the right to worship as you choose. And when you disagree with Billy Sunshine, you have the right to be wrong.
The Billy Sunshine Show, right here on KRXA 540 AM. Tune in Sundays 3 to 5.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Peter King, a San Francisco scare.
It felt like I was sitting on a trampoline, small, but two good-sized bumps, and then that was it.
A minor earthquake shook the city just over an hour ago, measuring 3.4. No damage or injuries reported. Tom Broker is with the U.S. Geological Survey.
Just a little reminder from Mother Nature that the Hayward Fault is there.
But he says a long drought of major earthquakes along that fault could mean that they're due for one in the next 12 years or so. As if Colorado hasn't gotten enough snow this winter, a new system is barreling in. Heavy snow, high winds, and it's headed east. National Weather Service meteorologist Bruce Terry.
In addition to the falling and accumulating snow, there will be blowing and drifting of snow. Much of those major metropolitan areas, specifically Minneapolis and Chicago, will probably see significant flight delays and or possible cancellations later tomorrow into the latter part of the weekend.
50 years after President Eisenhower sent troops to escort black students into an all-white high school in Little Rock, more than two-thirds of the city's students were African Americans. Today, a judge ended federal supervision of the school district. Ted Shaw is with the NAACP Legal Defense Fund.
It's an end to a long-standing case, which is one of the most important cases in the jurisprudence of school desegregation.
Things are much different there now with a black majority in the school board. The judge says he's comfortable. The district will keep improving academics for the city's African-American students. The Scooter Libby jury has gone home for the weekend.
After nearly 20 hours of deliberations, there is still no verdict. The jury must decide whether former top administration official Louis Scooter Libby intentionally lied to FBI agents or simply had a bad memory. The jurors are considering a complicated web of witnesses and evidence. The case is an intriguing Washington mix that stemmed from the outing of CIA worker Valerie Plame Wilson, whose husband, Joseph Wilson, accused the administration of manipulating intelligence to make the case for war against Iraq. Peter Mayer, CBS News, U.S. District Court, Washington.
Much more than this.
He played on this.
I did it my way.
And on many other Frank Sinatra hits. Word that guitarist Al Viola has died in California. Sinatra once called him one of the world's great guitarists. He played on 25 years worth of Sinatra sessions, but he was also known as a pretty good jazz player, a great one, really. He never played the same song the same way twice. And he played the mandolin on the Godfather soundtrack as well. Al Viola performed publicly for the last time just last month. He was 87. The National Hurricane Center says last season was its most accurate ever for tracking storms from 12 hours to 3 days ahead of landfall. One hurricane specialist says technology has helped create more accurate computer models. On Wall Street, the Dow closed down 38.5. This is CBS News.
Tiger Balm presents football superstar Jerry Rice.
Foxtrot.
I can't believe I'm dancing with Jerry Rice.
I can't believe dancing is as hard as playing wide receiver.
Tango.
I'm sorry.
You okay?
Yeah. How do you manage all the aches and pain?
Tiger Balm.
Really?
Tiger Balm works fast and lasts a long time.
Samba.
Whoa. Oh, sorry. I'm such a klutz.
Maybe we should stop.
No, just get me some Tiger Balm.
You sure?
Just get me the Tiger Balm.
If you suffer from aches and pains, go for the balm. Tiger Balm. Now in a convenient, easy-to-apply patch. At drugstores, mass discount stores, supermarkets, and health food stores everywhere.
Have you heard the one about the guy who's looking for a good used car and actually finds one? No, really. That's because he got a Honda certified used car. Each undergoes a 150-point inspection. Then, backed by a 7-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty from the original in-service date and a 12-month, 12,000-mile limited non-powertrain warranty. And now, get low APR financing on all certified used Honda Odyssey and Pilot models. Hey, it may be used, but it's still a Honda.
See dealer for financing and limited warranty details.
Making its debut in Phoenix, a new airport scanner. Here's KFYI's Jim Sharp.
The machine uses something called backscatter technology to create an outline of a person's body underneath their clothing.
Wow, that's a little personal.
It's adjusted to blur certain areas, but many still think it's too invasive. This man traveling to Canada thought the image, though, was just right.
Nothing we don't see on primetime TV.
It actually looks more like a naked mannequin than a naked person, and the biggest concern I heard about was
radiation exposure than the actual what it's going to look like.
According to the TSA, you'll receive more radiation on an aircraft at altitude than you do from the backscatter machine. Jim Sharp for CBS News, Phoenix.
Anna Nicole Smith's estranged mother has filed an emergency request to block her burial in the Bahamas. An L.A. judge says someone sent out a fake injunction with his name on it. And the judge in a paternity hearing says he's not sure that he's even got the jurisdiction to order DNA tests from Smith's five-month-old daughter. I'm Peter King, CBS News.
Buying a used car can be filled with pitfalls, but there's one sure way to avoid stumbling. Buy a Honda-certified used car. Only well-maintained late-model Hondas are eligible. Each undergoes a 150-point inspection and then backed by one of the best warranties in the business. Plus, now, you can get low APR financing on all certified used Honda Odyssey and Pilot models. Feeling a little more sure-footed, aren't we? Honda-certified used cars. Hey, it may be used, but it's still a Honda.
See dealer for financing and limited warranty details.
Appearing on DVD and Blu-ray disc, The Prestige. From the director of Batman Begins.
Never get that right.
It was the greatest magic trick I've ever seen.
Hugh Jackman.
I need to know how he does it.
Christian Bale.
You want the truth?
Michael Caine.
He has no trick.
It's real. Scarlett Johansson.
No more secrets.
Secrets of my life. Rolling Stone says you want to see it again the second it's over. The Prestige. Own it today. On DVD and Blu-ray disc. Rated PG-13 for violence and disturbing images.
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show, our third and final hour on Fridays.
Tuesday in November, I took that stroll to cast my ballot at the local poll. Lines were long, but I didn't care. I had water, a hat, and my folding chair. Walked up to the booth, didn't say a word. Sure that my voice would be heard. I hit that button, my vote was sent. Now nobody knows exactly where it went. They lost my vote. It isn't fair. I took a stand. Doesn't anybody care? They lost my vote. Now do you know where?
Has American democracy lost its way due to stolen elections, unreliable or hackable voting machines? Well, that's what we pursue every Friday in this third and final hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. Our go-to guy on election protection and election integrity is Brad Friedman. He's the proprietor of bradblog.com. Good to talk to you again, Brad. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you, Peter? I'm blogging in the background with a late update, even later than the one I just ran on Florida 13. So,
well,
but I'm doing well.
Let's get the headlines first, and let me just tell people that in a moment we're going to be joined by Susanna Goodman from Common Cause. We're going to have a good discussion about the Holt bill in its present form. But I know there's breaking news from Florida 13. There have been some studies, reports released. This is the Christine Jennings, I don't remember Buchanan's first name.
Vern
Buchanan.
Yes.
It was determined in the final tally by 369 votes and 18,000 were missing from the electronic machines. So there's a report from that. We'll get to that later in the hour. What else is breaking?
Well, actually, this is in relation to that Florida 13 race. I just received a statement from Christine Jennings that she calls that official state report that we'll talk about a little bit later. She calls it flawed and incomplete and more compelling reason to seek an investigation in this matter.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Brad, you and I have been talking about the Holt bill, and you have been honest and upfront and full disclosure that you were one of the individuals consulted as this legislation was drafted. So much of it has your support. But in its current form, you have a number of questions and issues, and you're not willing to endorse the bill at this time. Joining us to discuss this is Susanna Goodman, one of the election protection specialists at Common Cause USA. Susanna, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today.
Hello. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thanks for joining us. And I'd like to be clear to both of you that I'm not looking for a nasty debate here. I think that we all share a common goal here, which is that we really want to fix the electoral process in this country. We want to restore confidence that every voter can believe that his or her vote will be counted and counted properly. And I think that we are moving in the same direction. But, Susanna, I think you would acknowledge that there are some people who feel that the Rush-Holt bill in its current form doesn't go far enough.
Sure. There are a number of folks that have pointed out with the current draft that was introduced, H.R. 811, that there are issues with it. And I think that's the great thing about democracy and, quite frankly, the Internet. This has been absolutely wonderful. As soon as the bill was released, thousands of people could look at it and sort of go through it with a fine-tooth comb. And, all kinds of people from all walks of life, computer scientists, election hardware specialists. We have eyes and ears all over the country, and that's really terrific.
Mm-hmm.
And people found flaws in it because, hey, legislation was written by humans.
Yeah.
It's going to have flaws. And I just think it's been a great process. And so a lot of those flaws have been pointed out, and we've taken a lot of those flaws to the drafters of the legislation and the people that are going to be moving it forward. And, some of them we spotted, but some of them, quite frankly, we didn't spot.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's so great. I mean, it's really been kind of a thrilling process.
Well, and I want to make it clear from my posture that we can all, want to improve it. But I think, as I said at the outset, that we all really are working in the same direction. Brad, let me give you an opportunity, before you talk about what's wrong with the bill, to just tick off what you think the positive elements are, and then we'll get into the things that you think need some tweaking or fixing.
Oh, there's loads of good stuff in there, and in fact, I was speaking with both Barbara Byrd at Common Cause and Susanna throughout the development of this thing, and I concur. We're all of the same mind here, although I would use different words than you did. You called for us to fix the election system in America, and I think that's one of our problems. So what we want to do is reform the system. There's a lot of great stuff in there, actually. Limits on the use of the Internet and networking, public disclosure of source code, the outlawing voting machine sleepovers, which is a bugaboo of mine.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, there's all kinds of stuff, and a demand for what seems to be a paper ballot that will be durable and archivable. That's a good thing, obviously, and I was very happy that Holt changed the language originally from paper trail or paper record to paper ballot. The problem, of course, is that he doesn't require that paper ballot actually be tabulated. And that's a problem for me in any election, is that we need to tabulate the ballots, something that I had suggested to the Holt folks throughout the process. They chose to not include that. And essentially what that does is allows for these dreadful DRE touchscreen systems that we've seen causing all kinds of problems, including down in Sarasota, where in fact Holt's bill would have required a paper trail of some sort be added to those machines. But such a paper trail down in Sarasota in that Florida 13th district election would not have avoided the problem that we're in. right now with that race. That's why I feel it's so important.
And explain that, because
DREs.
Because, Brad, as I understand it, the 18,000 votes that, you know, vanished were cast electronically. And if, when that electronic vote was cast, it also produced a paper ballot. Not just a thermal paper trail, but a durable paper ballot that could later be counted. Is that not sufficient?
Well, no, it's not. At least from my investigation, talking to loads of computer scientists about exactly this, and they've pointed out to me, and these are some of the most well-respected folks in the world on this, that in fact, if 18,000 voters failed to confirm their the lack of a choice in that race when they saw it in front of their faces on that touchscreen, what makes anyone think that they would have succeeded in noticing it on a tiny slip of paper? They had the opportunity to see that there was no vote in that race, and they were unable to change that vote. So having a paper trail really only would have served to ensure that we wouldn't be able to challenge this election right now, because folks would say, well, see, there it is. There's that paper trail you guys wanted, and it says no vote. So that's that.
All right.
So,
Susanna, your comment on this issue?
Well, I guess, just to back up a little bit, I do think that, we're facing a really dire situation. We've got 15 states which only have these paperless direct record electronic voting machines. We're not in good shape going into the 2008 elections, or, you know, even if we can't make it by then, by the midterms for 2010, we're in trouble. We've got a lot of this country voting on machines where there's absolutely no accountability, and that's why, you know, Common Cause does support H.R. 811 Rush-Holtz legislation, because it would require every voting system to produce a durable paper ballot, and voters will be looking at a sign right on the voting machine that says that they have to verify the ballot, because the ballot is the ballot of record for all audits and recounts. It's moving in a direction we just have to go as a country. We got to move on this thing. We cannot have these 15, states with these paperless DREs out there anymore and risk this kind of thing.
Now, Brad, I know that you'd like to eliminate the DREs entirely, but if they are essentially, their role is curtailed to where they basically just assist the voter in producing their ballot, which is then turned in, and there's no way of connecting the ballot to the voter, so it's still private and anonymous, can that pass muster with you?
Well, I concur with what Susanna said. We need to get this fixed by 2008. The problem is the Holt bill won't fix it in its current state. That paper ballot that she noted, there's a sign that says this will be the ballot for all recounts and audits. But what we've learned is that the count that matters is the count on election day. And we've gotten to this place in this country, whether it's Bush v. Gore or now Jennings v. Buchanan, where pretty much the first person announced the winner largely gets to be the winner. And that's a problem. That's why we need to actually count those paper ballots. Look, I'm in California. We have a paper trail law out here, but I've seen problems in race after race where you had these paper trails, and they are essentially meaningless because they're never actually tabulated. That's what we need to fix. Holt's bill comes very, very close up to the line there, but unfortunately doesn't take that step that we need, which is banning those touchscreen machines. And even the Florida Republican governor now has agreed that that's what needs to be done.
That's Charlie Crist, and you're right. We're going to take a break and return. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com and Susanna Goodman from Common Cause. Her website is commoncause.org. A lot of great information there. We'll continue in just a moment our discussion of the Holt bill right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to the news. KRXA 540.
Hey. every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540. If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Aloha, I'm Jay.
And I'm Ginger.
And we would like to invite you to our family restaurant at Pizza Paradise, serving the biggest, best, and boldest pizzas from our Marina location at 215 Reservation Road. It's in the Marina Village Shopping Center across from Wells Fargo Bank. Try one of our specialty pizzas like the Ginger's Island Paradise, or for the meat lovers, a Meet Me in Paradise. We're open Tuesday through Sunday and offer a banquet room for up to 80 people. We deliver to Marina and CSUMB.
Call 582-9149.
It's a Pizza Paradise.
That's 582-9149.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
And a very pleasant good afternoon to you. Let's take a look at traffic on this TGIF Friday, everybody. Well, it looks like we have some slow traffic being reported northbound, southbound 101. Heavy in and out of Salinas, according to one of our traffic computers. Northbound also slows at the San Miguel Canyon turnoff. A little bit of slow traffic being reported southbound 1 between Monterey and Carmel. No reason given. It's just the typical slowdown traffic. Eastbound 25, it looks like a little slow from Gilroy into Hollister. Other than that, Highway 17 looking good. No major stalls or accidents to report of that particular roadway. And our Friday does not look, certainly have seen worse. This report brought to you by your Genuine Toyota Service Departments. Through March, visit your local participating Toyota Service Center, and you could win two tickets to the Toyota Save Mart 350. No purchase necessary. See dealer for details for those all-important official rules. I'm Mike. That's traffic on KRXA AM 540.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues, and I remain your humble host, Peter B., 22 minutes after the hour. Right now, we're getting two viewpoints on the bill sponsored by Congressman Rush Holt to fix our voting problems, voting machine problems in this country. Brad Friedman from Bradblog.com, our Friday regular, and Susanna Goodman from Common Cause USA. We'll go to the phones here if you'd like to offer a question or comment. 888-5-PETER-B will put you through toll-free. And, Susanna, I just wanted to give you a chance because we had to go to a break there and Brad got the last word in. Anything you wanted to add about the paper trail versus paper ballot issue?
Well, I guess something that I think shouldn't be lost in this discussion is that, for example, in Florida, I think the governor is absolutely doing the right thing and moving to an optical scan system. And that's a system that I used to use in Virginia where you literally get to mark the candidates that you want, and then those ballots are scanned. But they're not hand counted. They're read with a electronic eye, an optical scanner. And that actually was one of the first machines that was exposed to be vulnerable to be hacked. I mean, there's this famous hack called the Hershey hack, which
sure.
showed that the optical scan machines can be hacked, and you can, there can be, 50 votes for Smith, but if you hack that machine correctly, you can, count only 20. So the good thing about the Holt bill, so this idea that if we all went to paper and those paper ballots were scanned, which is what we do in this country, we don't do hand counts, then the problem would go away. And the problem is that it's an electronic count if it's counted by an optical scan, an electronic eye, or if it's counted inside the machine. The linchpin, I think, to this legislation is the audit provision, which says that you have to go back and count by hand in an audit at least 3% of the precincts, and more if the race is really close. You have to count by hand those ballots and compare them to the electronic count. And that's sort of the critical piece of this because, quite frankly, there's no state that I know of in the United States that doesn't use electronic counting, and that's the real bugaboo.
All right.
Well,
Brad, go ahead.
If I could respond, and as a matter of fact, as funny as she was mentioning the Hershey hack down in Florida on the optical scan Diebold machines, I actually got a message just at that very moment from Harry Hershey via email. So I'm in touch with Harry on this.
And, woo.
I certainly know the Hershey hack well. Let me be clear. Susanna suggested that someone here is calling for a hand count. I'm not. I know that there's a lot of folks who are, and that's fine by me. There are some places that do hand counting. Up in New Hampshire, I believe, they do some hand counting. But the point is, she had mentioned going back and counting 3% of the ballots in an audit later on. My question is why Susanna or anyone else wouldn't be in favor of counting 100% of the ballots in the first place using those optical scan machines or a hand count, either one. In any case, you're going to go back and do that 3% audit. In some cases, as much as 10%. I'm not crazy about the audit provisions either, the protocols in there, but let's say they'll suffice for now. Why wouldn't we just count these ballots, these paper ballots, in the first place on Election Day? That's what we need. That's what Americans need. And, in a case such as that, if you require a hand-marked paper ballot, you can divine the voter's intention simply by looking at that ballot. You don't have to presume that all the electronics worked or didn't. I mean, I've been plowing through this Florida 13 report today. It's incredible how ridiculously complicated these touchscreen systems are. There is no good reason to use them in any election in America ever again. And 2006 showed us that thousands, if not millions, of voters were disenfranchised, not able to vote, simply because those machines broke down on Election Day, whereas an op-scan system with a paper ballot, you can vote anytime, anywhere.
And, Susanna, in an ideal world, I imagine you'd support the elimination of the DREs, but do you think that's an achievable goal in the near term, either by 08 or
010? Well, I actually think it's a bit of a red herring. I mean, I think that, as Brad was saying, you could take 100% of those ballots and you still scan them through an optical scanner. That's still electronic.
No problem. It's
That's
the great.
Counting piece of this is electronic, and it will absolutely 100%. There will be a time when it absolutely fails because it's a machine and machines break.
Well, that's right. But we'll have a paper ballot that's been marked by the voter that they'll be able to then go back and check by any means necessary. We will not have that with the touchscreen system. And I'd be interested Peter said that you assumed Susanna would be in favor of banning those DREs. I'd like to actually know where Common Cause and Susanna is. Would you guys be in favor of a ban on touchscreen voting machines?
But that's not where we are. And the reason is that I really see this bill as, I mean, what you have in, for example, in New Mexico is there are people that can mark a ballot by hand, but there are people that cannot mark a ballot by hand because they have a vision impairment or they're blind or they don't have use of their hands.
Well, we're not talking about
those
disabilities
folks
voters,
use a ballot marking device, which is an electronic device. And so so some ballots would be marked by hand, some ballots can be marked by an electronic ballot marking device. And if you have the DRE printing out a ballot, it's almost like turning it into a ballot marking device.
So, Brad, hold your thought because we just have 20 seconds and Susanna has to leave, so I want to give you the final word on why Common Cause, Move On, and People for the American Way have decided to endorse the current form of the Holt bill.
Because we've got to do something, and we really think that this is the way to create a software independent system and something that will make a check on all the systems out there.
All right, Susanna, I got to stop now. Thank you for joining us today.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The days of wine and roses.
The fastest growing disease in America is addiction. It's time we talk about it openly. This is Sheila Gale. Join me Saturday afternoons from 4 to 5 for 12-Step Talk Uncensored, where we deal with addiction. It's about time.
That wasn't there before.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
It's tax time again, and there's one progressive tax preparer in the Monterey Bay Area who specializes in tax returns for W-2 and self-employed working people. Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in preparing tax returns that maximize your refund as soon as you need it. In 24 hours, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks, the choice is yours. The personnel at Jim Moore Income Tax have been helping the hardworking Spanish-speaking residents of the Central Coast with immigration and tax preparation services for more than 30 years. You can get your tax return professionally prepared and electronically filed by bilingual tax professionals at a very reasonable fee. Need your tax return tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today, located at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just 2 blocks from the Central Plaza. Be sure to take a copy of your 2005 federal and California returns and W-2 1099 info for 2006. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today at 30 Alexander Street, downtown Watsonville.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance, Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last 4 decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Hey, everybody, this is Larry from Acme Coffee Roasting Company in Seaside, and I want to know if you're tired of wading through hacky sackers and laptop zombies just to receive a mediocre cup of joe by some underwhelmed employee somewhere. Well, you come on down to Acme Coffee Roasting Company. Meet the local hardworking folks all around you. We roast the coffee every day. We're owner-operated and totally qualified. Why don't you come on down and see how we turned a little alleyway in Seaside, California into a place to grab a good cup of joe at the corner of Broadway and Contra Costa? Come on down, my friends. Just drink it. Resist corporate coffee.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues. More with his Bradness, Brad Friedman, in just a moment. And if you'd like to talk with us, lines are open at 888-5 Peter B. We'll give an update on the situation in Florida 13 next.
I don't know what I was waiting for, and my time was running wild. I mean, in dead end streets, and every time I thought I got it made, it seemed the taste was not so sweet. So I turned myself to face me. Well, I've never caught a glimpse how the others must see the baker. I'm much too fast to take that test.
Change and face the strange.
I'd like to take a moment, if you'll indulge me, and get the attention of our listeners in Phoenix, Arizona, on 1480 KPHX. You may have noticed a few changes around the radio station. I first learned of them yesterday. And then today, I got a phone call from Anita Drobny, the new CEO of Nova M Radio, which operates KPHX. And she informed me that Dr. Mike Newcomb has left the station. And as many of you know, he was the host of the morning show and one of the driving forces that helped bring Progressive Talk back to Phoenix last year. Anita Drobny also informed me that they're planning to move this show, the Peter B. Collins Show, to 10 p.m. Yeah, that's way after dark. In order to make way for a local show in this time slot. And I support local programming. I do. But I think our Phoenix listeners, while they could still hear the show, wouldn't be able to call in, and the station's low power at night would further limit your access to this program. Ms. Drobny told me the change might happen in March or early April, and I made it clear that such a move would be a major disappointment to me and to many of you listeners and callers who become loyal to this show. Anita said the new plans respond to the wishes of listeners and advertisers who she's talked to, and she told me that if listeners tell her they want to keep Peter B. live in the afternoon, that she'll listen to that. Quote, "I should only hope that will happen," she told me, and I actually wrote those words down. So, my friends in Phoenix, the future of the Peter B. Collins Show and its live origination is up to you. I feel a pretty powerful connection to you folks, and even to Steve, the Republican who likes to give me a hard time. With your support and activism, we may be able to turn this decision around. So, to start, I ask you to email the station and send a copy to me. I'm not going to tell you what to say. You can form your own message. But send it to Billy Foster. He's the Chief Information Officer at Nova M Radio. His email is bfoster@aaphx.com. That's bfoster@aaphx.com. And copy me, peter@peterbcollins.com. I'll make sure your comments reach the Drobnys, the decision makers. And thank you very much for your indulgence. We return now to our regularly scheduled segment with Brad Friedman of bradblog.com. Hey, Brad, I wanted to see if you had any follow-up comments on Susanna Goodman and the exchange you had over the Holt bill. I got your email, but she was unable to stay. She had another commitment, and so we did spring her.
Well, that's too bad, because I really don't like talking behind people's backs like that. I did want to respond to something she said, but before I do, let me say, as you know, I just got back from Phoenix, where I was honored to guest host your show for a couple of nights. The folks in Phoenix that I've met, at least, are crazy about you out there, so I really hope they'll jump in and make some noise down there in Phoenix and demand that you stay on live during the 4 to 7 hour in Phoenix. You're much beloved down there, and I was shocked yesterday when I heard from another source that this was possibly going to happen. So I hope the folks in Arizona and Phoenix can mobilize to keep you on the air live, as you should be.
Well, thank you. I appreciate your support, and let's mobilize. And
indeed.
We're just going to see what happens.
All right.
Back to the Holt bill and your discussion with Susanna Goodman.
Well, yeah, it was interesting. She had mentioned, she had pointed actually to New Mexico, and in New Mexico, in fact, they've changed from their touchscreen system after having so many problems in 2004 in the election to require the paper ballot that I've been calling for, and that for reasons that still seem to be somewhat unclear, Common Cause is not calling for. But I'm about to release a report. There's been a report. I'm going to report it on Monday at Bradblog that, in fact, on the Indian reservations, in minority areas in the Indian reservations out there in New Mexico, where they changed from touchscreen to optical scan, there was an 87% decrease in undervoted ballots. In other words, ballots or elections where there was no selection at all on the touchscreen machines. Once they had the opportunity to mark their votes on a piece of paper with a pen, there was an 87% decrease. That's just one of the apparent advantages of optical scan paper ballots, in any case, no matter how they're counted. And so I would have liked to have asked her about that. I'm sorry she did have to go.
Mm-hmm. But well, I really appreciate your contribution to this because, I can imagine there are many people who are willing to say that perfect is the enemy of the good.
Yeah.
And there are good things in the Holt bill, and you acknowledge that.
But
you're committed to really trying to clean up our election system, as I said at the outset, so that every voter can have confidence that his or her vote is counted and counted accurately. And if we don't do that, our system is going to break down, and we've already seen some of those indications.
Yeah, we absolutely have. And that's, one of the concerns here. I wrote an article this week called The False Dichotomies of the Democrats and their public advocacy supporters, like Common Cause and PFAW and Vote Trust and Move On right now, who are suggesting, and you heard it in our conversation there, where she brought up this hand-counted paper ballot canard, as if that's what I'm calling for, or if I've said that, there cannot be electronics in any election. That's completely specious argument, frankly, because I've not made that argument, and I haven't heard others make it. At the end of the, I have heard some make it, but those of us, suggesting a paper ballot are not demanding that there be hand-counted. I did hear her also toss in there the disabilities argument, that there are folks who are blind and disabled who can't vote with a regular pen and paper, and that's understandable, and that, too, is easily dealt with. There are devices out there that will allow disabled voters to vote on a piece of paper. We don't need touch screens. And in a worst-case scenario, even if you allowed touch screens for disabled voters, there's no reason to risk democracy for everyone simply to meet the requirements of the American with Disabilities Act. So, It's a really troubling argument. I don't like going up against folks who I do consider to be the good guys, and I consider to be Common Cause good guys. But that's kind of what we're left with here, and I'll point folks to pdamerica.org. They've got a campaign to call on Congress to amend the Holt bill. In fact, Maxine Waters announced that she would be dropping her co-sponsorship of the Holt bill because of some of these matters that have been brought to her attention. And, I agree. We cannot afford another presidential election in question. The Holt bill is going to send us in that direction, even if everything that Susanna and Common Cause and Holt argue, even if everything they call for works perfectly and accurately and every single vote is counted accurately, you're still setting up a situation where people cannot verify for themselves that the vote is correct. And I would argue that losing confidence in our democracy is as much of a danger to democracy itself as is voting machines that are fixed or fail or anything else.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mary in Denver shares your concern. She writes with the subject line, "Common cause is a lost cause."
Oh, boy.
I could barely believe the incoherence I was hearing from the Common Cause spokesperson. Is it possible she has no idea of what DREs represent? Her only argument in favor of the Holt bill was that we have to do something right now, regardless of whether the bill gets it right. Wasn't that what happened with HABA? Just do something, forget about the consequences. Oh, and she remarked that we Americans don't count paper ballots. That's not the way we do things here. Why not, lady? Totally disheartened here in Denver, signed Mary.
Yep, that's... I welcome Mary to my disheartenedness as well.
Whatever it is.
Because that's, I mean, frankly, that's what I've been feeling as we've been moving forward, and I'm seeing, you know, a lot of folks who really ought to be on our side, and I can't understand what they could possibly be thinking.
Mm-hmm.
I really can't, and I've gone out of my way. I've talked to folks, you know, at Common Cause, Move On, PFAW, all of these groups. And, you know, even Common Cause put out a press release in support of Holt claiming, as we talked about at the top of the show, claiming that those paper trails that Holt calls for would have avoided the problem in Sarasota.
Mm-hmm.
It's just demonstrably untrue.
We'll get your update on the latest reports from Sarasota, but Randall's been holding for a day and a half. Randall, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show with Brad Friedman.
Peter, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
I forgot, man. I've been on hold so long. I think it was about Anna Nicole.
That's right. I'm the father. I'm confessing. I just wanted to I wanted you to thank me for taking your call. And,
you're welcome.
I'm on my way down to Tucson to see Paul Leto and Steve Freeman. Steve's doing a book signing.
Good. I'm glad you mentioned that because I've had this out to try to plug it. And since you're on the way, it is Stephen Freeman, Paul Leto, and also John Achey Brakey is organizing this event. And it's at the Plumbers and Steam Fitters Union Hall. It's underway right actually starts at 6:30. It is underway right now, Phoenix time, Arizona time. And do you have any further directions, the exact location of the Union Hall there?
It's at the Plumbers and Steam Fitters Hall, and I can't remember the address. It's in my Palm Pilot, but if I look at it, I'll run off the road.
Don't do that.
On I-10, I've already lost the radio signal. I was hoping you'd put me on hold when I get off the rest of the show.
Yeah, we'll do that. Sure, I'm happy to do that.
Well, Brad, did you get those dog biscuits I sent you?
I don't know if I did or not. We'll have to talk later, but I want to, if you were out of the signal, I want to make sure that you heard Peter's announcement that they may be moving the show in Phoenix.
That's right, yeah. I put my 2 cents worth in already on that.
Good.
And I hope everybody else will, too. And I'm not just blowing smoke, but I think that Peter's show is one of the high-quality shows nationwide in this genre, if you will.
And, well, my ears are burning, but thank you very much.
Well, I hope you guys work it out because, really, I think Nova M is going places. It's growing and growing, and the more content they have on there to sell, the better they're going to do, and I hope it gets worked out somehow.
Well put.
Give our best to everyone down there.
All right. So, Randall, did you want to add something, or should I put you back on hold so you can listen?
Oh, just one more thing. Yeah, in Arizona, like I said, we only use the DREs for the handicapped voters. And statewide, I think there was less than a couple hundred votes total done on the DREs. The rest were all scanned paper ballots. And we're fighting in the legislature right now about preserving and defending the gains we made on the hand count audit last session. And hopefully, if what I heard you say was about the Holt bill, they're going to mandate hand count audits. That could be nothing but good because that'll take a lot of pressure off us getting stuff through this baboon troop of a legislature.
Okay. All right, Randall, thanks for checking in today, and put you on hold so you can listen to the rest of the show. And please,
thanks, Peter. Thanks, Your Majesty.
Please give our best to John Brakey and Stephen Freeman and Paul Leto.
Sure will. Thanks.
All right, good. Nice to hear from you. All right, Brad, I think we'll go to our break and then come back and give you a couple of minutes to update us on the developments, the report on that tainted election in Florida 13, where Christine Jennings lost by 369 votes and everybody lost 18,000 votes. We'll pick up there as we continue with Brad Friedman. And if you want to call, go ahead. We'll try to squeeze you in. 888-5-PETER-B. It's Friday at the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything's so tasty, you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a killer affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus too. A side of couscous and a baba ghanoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery in PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
Join me, Deborah Lindsay, each Sunday afternoon at 2 for Tomorrow Matters. We'll be matching the global problems of today with the local solutions for a better tomorrow. I'll bring in the guests, and you call with the questions and ideas, and collectively we'll set the standards for a more sustainable future, because for all of us, tomorrow matters. Join me right here on KRXA 540 AM for Tomorrow Matters each Sunday at 2.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540. If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
Hey, TGIF, everybody, let's take a look at our Friday traffic. We're going to start off with a situation working in, how about Morgan Hill? Some sort of problem as our CHP page comes up here, and it is a crash. Actually, they're saying it's a disabled vehicle blocking left lane southbound 101 before Cochran, and so a bit of a backup in that area. Meanwhile, we want to talk about south of Gilroy, 101 northbound before, looks like 25, fender bender reported there, and this is a two-vehicle crash. Looks like it has also been cleared off to the right shoulder. In SoCal, it looks like Capitol Avenue, SoCal Drive, stalled pickup truck blocking one of the lanes there. CHP is on scene. No problems on Highway 17, which is certainly some good news. This report is brought to you by Charles Schwab. Big account, small account, they all count. Feel valued no matter how much you're worth. Talk to Chuck, Charles Schwab, 1-800-4-SCHWAB.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Friday evening at the radio. Brad Friedman continues with us from bradblog.com. Drop by the blog. There's a lot more news breaking that we haven't had time to fit in today because we focus primarily on our conversation with Common Cause and the Rush Holt bill. And, Brad, there is some interesting developments. There are interesting developments relating to Florida 13. And I'll just, again, recap for people who may have just joined us. This is the race last November decided by 369 votes in favor of Republican Vern Buchanan, and 18,000 votes disappeared from the DRE machines. So who did a study and what kind of report came out?
Well, the study was released today from the state of Florida, who had commissioned an audit and a study by some computer scientists under the auspices of Florida State University. And you'll be stunned to learn that they found everything was recorded exactly right, and there were no problems whatsoever.
And the public is not in any danger.
That's right. Everything is well. These aren't the droids you're looking for. it was incredible. In fact, Kurt Browning, the new Secretary of State out there, came out and claimed that the report showed that there was no evidence that any votes were recorded incorrectly, which is actually in direct contrast with what the report actually says, which, in fact, says that the audit team concluded Where is it here? I want to get that statement. Shoot. Well, I can't find it. It's at bradblog.com. Essentially what they said was that their study of these systems could not find the reason why 18,000 votes disappeared, but they said that this was absolutely not normal and not to be expected. And they're more called for more studies. Now, the Jennings campaign and groups PFAW and VoterAction.org, who are fighting this the race down there, have contended that the that has been commissioned is actually a partisan group. In fact, it's headed by a guy who was seen as wearing a Bush 1 button in 2000 on the Florida Supreme Court stairs, and they say that the study is flawed and partisan and should never have been run by folks who actually had a stake in its outcome. So I'm afraid this report leaves as many questions open as we had prior to the report, much as we thought would happen with this particular group doing the auditing.
Now, Brad, I have a report from People for the American Way, their analysis of this report, the audit, and one of the points they make is that it tested only 10 voting machines, and 5 of them were used on Election Day. The other 5 were just samples from the factory. I mean, why would you audit them if they weren't used on Election Day?
Well, I guess you could compare the behavior.
A control group.
Exactly.
Okay.
So that much makes sense. But, you know, again, this was run. Those tests that you're talking about were run by a fellow by the name of David Drury on behalf of the state of Florida. David Drury, excuse me, is the same fellow who certified these machines as being safe for use in the state of Florida. Now, is he going to be likely to come out and say that, these machines were wrong, they didn't work, I should have never certified them in the first place, please fire me? Of course not. And that's why you need an independent group to look at this. Look, as I've argued at BradBlog and elsewhere, even if this report was completely legitimate and they did a terrific job, you're still going to have these questions about the validity of the report, and we're still, therefore, in the same mess that we were when we began. I'll tell you, in my report, you might want to also check today at BradBlog, in my report on this, I showed one of the charts from the Florida State University report, which shows the hardware architecture of these paperless touchscreen machines they use down there in Florida. It is absolutely mind-boggling how complex these systems are, and even the computer scientists said that these are incredibly complex systems, which just brings us back to the conversation we were having earlier with Susanna Goodman from Common Cause. Why the hell are we going to such lengths to make our process more complicated than it needs to be? We're talking about adding 1 + 1 + 1. This really is not rocket science, and the fact that we're making it so difficult is going to lead to these sorts of problems happening over and over again.
And there's more at BradBlog, including a reaction from Christine Jennings, who's on the losing end of this whole episode. Let's go to Cynthia in Phoenix. Hello, Cynthia. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter. Hi, Brad. How are you?
Doing fine.
Is that Cynthia Black?
It is.
Action Point on KPHX, Cynthia Black on Sunday.
1480 Sundays, noon to 1.
All right. Hi, Cynthia.
Hi, Peter. I've never called into your show before, and I have sat in my cold car in Phoenix because it's below 80 degrees, of course, trying to get through on my cell phone. This is how motivated I am.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. It's excellent. Of course, I'm very excited about it. Brad could tell you that. But this is a question I haven't heard anyone ask, and I'd love to hear an answer for. Why do these four organizations, PFAW, Common Cause, Move On, and Vote Trust, why aren't they on the same side as thousands of election integrity individuals? What is their motivation for not carrying forward the clearly meaningful, important types of changes that Brad has outlined?
Well, of course, you would ask that question with about a minute and a half left in the show.
Come on, you can do it.
You must.
I would point folks again to my article on the dichotomies here and what's at work. And what these people are possibly thinking. There is the big suggestion right now is that this is because of language minority voters, that somehow they are more they're better served with touchscreen machines than optical scan, despite the fact that there is absolutely no evidence that I'm aware of to back up that argument. So it seems to be disingenuous in some cases, and in other cases, they're just simply being misinformed on this topic. You know, the Susanna Goodman, the folks at Common Cause, they are not computer scientists. I'm not either, although I did make my living for 10 years as a computer programmer, so I know something about this. And I think there's a lot of bad information going out there, and I continue the investigation to figure out where the hell it's coming from.
Let me ask one more question then. What do you think about the suggestion that these were some of the original lobbyists and backers of HAVA, and they don't want to have egg on their face for getting rid of DREs?
Yeah, I've heard that suggested, and the idea that they can't, that they pushed for these touchscreen machines in the
right.
first place. And so that they can't change their position now. I hear that argument. I have not seen any evidence to back that up. I think that if these folks came to believe that we needed to get rid of touchscreens, I think they would step out and say so.
Cynthia,
all
thanks
right.
for your
well,
call.
Thank you.
I smell a horse here. Brad, thank you very much. It was an excellent program today. We'll talk again soon.
I appreciate it, my friend. Have a good weekend.
Visit bradblog.com to find out more. And you can visit my website, peterbcollins.com. My email, peter@peterbcollins.com. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you Monday right here.
There's more than one side to every issue. Actually, there's usually more than two sides. It's important to get a different perspective on issues and current events, and that's what we'll provide you on Thursday nights at 10 on KRXA 540. Our show is called, appropriately enough, A Different Perspective. I'm Jack Quirk, and I'm your host. I have guests with a unique angle on current issues. I'm often joined by Phil Ropp and other guest co-hosts who bring their own expertise to our discussions. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for A Different Perspective here on KRXA 540.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Peter King. It lasted all of 5 seconds. A small earthquake hit the San Francisco Bay Area just over 2 hours ago. KCBS reporter Mike Pulsifer.
The quake registered 3.4, and the epicenter was about 2 miles east-southeast of Berkeley. There have been no reports of damage or injuries. A listener who felt the quake in San Francisco says there were a couple of sharp bumps.
It felt like I was sitting on a trampoline, small, but two good-sized bumps. And then that was it. And the light fixture in the office was kind of waving around a little bit, and that was an earthquake.
The quake was on the Hayward Fault. Mike Pulsifer, CBS News, San Francisco.
He was barely in, and now he's out. Former Iowa Governor Tom Vilsack says there's just one reason why he's decided to give up his run for the White House.
It is money and only money. That is the reason that we are leaving today.
Not enough money. Vilsack's the second announced Democrat to drop out. Indiana's Evan Bayh was the first last fall. It could be a while before Anna Nicole Smith's body gets to its final resting place. CBS News correspondent Gwen Belton has more.
Judge Seidlin recommended Smith be buried in the Bahamas next to her son, a decision left to, then agreed upon by the guardian of Smith's infant daughter. All parties were in favor for a short while. But Smith's estranged mom, Virgie Arthur, has now filed a motion asking the judge to reconsider his ruling. Arthur is also expected at a hearing in the Bahamas Monday to challenge Stern for custody of baby Danny Lynn in yet another court battle linked to the death of Anna Nicole Smith. Gwen Belton, CBS News, Fort Lauderdale.
New miles per gallon labels on cars may make it seem that the car you want isn't doing as well as older models. CBS News correspondent John Harchie reports that's not necessarily the case.
In an effort to publish fuel economy estimates that are more like you can expect in the real world, the EPA has a new formula. But as it's phased in on new 08 model cars, while 07s are still in showrooms, you might get the idea the new models perform worse than the old ones. A Prius hybrid, for example, would go down from 50 35 to 46 mpg. Toyota's Mike Michaels points out,
this will reduce the EPA ratings for all cars. Very important to understand this isn't hybrid related.
A gasoline Honda Civic, for example, would go from 33 to 29 on the new scale. John Hartshey, CBS News, Washington.
It's been more than 2 weeks since astronaut Lisa Nowak was charged with attempted kidnapping and murder in Orlando. Now NASA plans have surfaced for possible psychological